afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience. Today we're out at the Polo Ground, that historic old home of the New York Giants, nestled in the lee of Coogan's Bluff on the island of Manhattan. The occasion, of course, is the playing of the second annual All-Star Baseball game between the outstanding performers of the National and the American Leagues. And boy, what an aggregation of ball tossers are wandering around there, down there on that field right now. The pick of the world, no question about that. The crowd is tremendous, the stands are packed all the way around. If you don't know the Polo Ground, I'll just tell you quickly that it is a double-decked affair running about four-fifths to five-sixths of the way around the entire enclosure. There's only a small part of the grounds out in center field, which is devoted to the bleachers. The rest is all double-decked grandstands. The grass looks as though it were absolutely as fine as the finest type of golf course green. It's perfect out there today, and Henry Fabian has certainly done a great job. Every seat in the house is filled now, almost at least. I can't see any vacant seats anyplace from my place up here in the second tier off third base. It's just about a capacity crowd right now, and undoubtedly every inch of the standing room will be taken before game time, which is in just a little less than 15 minutes. The boys have drawn an absolutely perfect day for baseball. Not too hot, but it's plenty hot enough to get a good sweat up when you're working out there on the field, but not too hot and not hot enough to be uncomfortable for the spectators, the customers. So it's just perfect all the way around. There's a slight breeze blowing, but not enough to affect fly balls in particular. You know, last year, the first of these All-Star games was played out at Comiskey Field in Chicago, and that ended with a victory for the younger league, the Americans, the final score being 4-0. That day, a young fellow who had his 20th birthday in big league baseball only the day before yesterday, and who intends to quit as a regular at the end of this season. He broke up that ball game with a towering home run with a man on the pad. His name, as you all know, is Babe Ruth, or George Herman Ruth, if you will, and for years his specialty has been breaking up ball games. This is another year, however, and the National League is out to avenge that beating of 1933. The way that ball has been zipped around the bases so far, the dazzling infield plays both teams have been pulling off, and the great running catches of long flies the outfielders have been snagging, it seems that a man must just be a magician to slap out a safe hit. But on the other hand, when you take a look at those batting averages of the two murderers' rows, you must realize that they'll just snap into it one time or another and do the necessary to score some runs. Crowd. Leading off for the American League will be Charlie Gehringer, whose second basing and 382 batting average has been one of the big reasons why the Detroit Tigers have been such thorns in the sides of the New York Yankees all season. Crawling right along all the time. They've been on top once in a while, but the Yanks have managed to cross the 4th of July, which is supposed to be the old deadline, cross the 4th of July in the lead. The National batting order starts off with Frankie Frisch, the old Fordham Flash, manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. By the way, as we run along, those of you who want to take these names down, be sure to have your pencil and paper, and you can get them, and then we'll run over the batting order again a little when we finish. Frankie Frisch, the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals and the captain of All-Star Nationals today, he's been camping around second base so long that position has given up all its secrets to him. And his punch this year is at a 310 clip. Heinie Manush of the Washington Americans is second on the American batting order, and he'll be out there patrolling the left field garden. And he's the only man posting a 400 batting average. His average is 402, by the way. He'll look awful tough to those opposing pitchers. Pye Trainer, our third baseman to conjure by. He's the new Pirate manager, you know, and he'll take care of the hot corner for the Nationals. And if he can't do it, well, then just nobody can, that's all. He's hitting at a 352 clip, and he surely will play up to the great standards that he's set for years out there in Pittsburgh. Babe Ruth will be at his old right field stand for the Americans, the man with the all-time record of 699 home runs in his major league career, and who probably has been given more intentional passes than any other man ever in baseball. For the Babe, his batting average is very puny this year, 291. The Nationals' number three man is Joe Medwick.
who with the Dean brothers and Frankie Frisch is largely responsible for keeping the Cardinals up near the top. He's hitting .361. The American League has chosen Lou Gehrig, Columbia Lou of the Yankees, to fill the cleanup position, and Fat Guy Kyler of the Cubs gets the call from the Nationals. Gehrig on first is such an old institution that little need be said of him. He's baseball's Iron Man, and he's well in the running for both batting and home run leadership in his league. He's batting .369 at present. Fat Guy Kyler is a right field ball hawk, and he sports a willow wielding average of .343 at present. Next for the Americans is Jimmy Fox. We had thought he would not be playing, but he's going to play according to the official lineup. Of course, Jimmy is a great star and home run hitter for Connie Mack down in Philadelphia. And he first basing is just too well known to need any talking about. Fox is massaging the pellet at a 345 clip. He's playing third today for the Americans.
Wally Burger, the Boston Braves center fielder, is a real ball hawk. One who gladdens the heart of Bill McKechnie, his manager, and one of the principal reasons why the Braves are always a menace. His hitting is .316. Al Simmons of the White Sox of Chicago comes next in the Americans' batting order. He'll do the center fielding. A fast, utterly graceful fly chaser and always dangerous at the plate. How many of us who were there will ever forget that athletic rally of 10 runs against the Cubs in the World Series several years ago? A rally started by Simmons' ringing home run against the left field stand. He batted twice in that inning. He's singing the ball for a 343 standing. Then we have Bill Terry on the Nationals. Memphis Bill, the manager and first backer of the Nationals. He places himself sixth in the batting order in spite of a fine average of 368, highest of the national team regulars. As everyone knows, he's also manager of the world champion New York Giants. And he's out in front now in quest of his second pennant and, of course, his second World Series. Joe Cronin of the Americans is not only manager of the team, but also manager of last year's American League champions, the Senators of Washington. Joe's pitching has fallen down on him a bit this year, but if those hurlers begin to click, as they should, his team may be right up there yet. Joe will be in there doing a lot of shortstopping, and he's much more dangerous at the plate than his 283 average might indicate in this group of terrific super sluggers. Travis Jackson of the Giants. He bats seventh for the Nationals. He's long been called the greatest shortstop in baseball, a player who seemed to be all washed up last winter on account of trouble with his leg. But trouble just doesn't mean a thing to Jackson, and he's in there with his whip forward arm, tossing runners out from any and all positions and holding up his end with the bat with an average of 287. He's one of the most opportune hitters in the game today. Behind the bat, the Americans have Bill Dickey of the Yankees, and the Nationals have Gabby Hartnett of the Cubs, both powerful forwards for their team, both possessing fine arms to intimidate potential base stealers, and both have certainly that certain something that helps and steadies pitchers at critical moments. Dickey is batting .322 right now, with Hartnett just exactly the same, so there's nothing to choose there. The backstopping will be well taken care of. Two of the truly great pitchers of today will oppose each other in the starting lineup, probably for three innings each. Senor Lefty Gomez of the Yankees and Carl Hubbell of the Giants. If these two are the starters, and I'm sure they will be now, there should be a southpaw battle for three innings at least that'll be worth traveling mighty far to see. Gomez has already won 14 games for the Yanks, and Hubbell has a rating among many who should know as the greatest living pitcher, and by not a few, as a man who is coming along to take his place as the greatest of all time. Man, also look at those batting orders. Not a soft spot from top to bottom. They're tough. Not the slightest chance for a pitching let up. Just groove one for any man in that lot, and bang, there goes your old ball game. Will it be pitchers, or will it be hitters? A difference of opinion, eh? Well, that's what makes horse racing. Aside from the players mentioned, the Americans have, as pitchers, Red Ruffing of the Yanks, Tom Bridges of the Tigers, Mel Harder of the Indians. Tom, how's Mel going? Pretty good.
Great,
man. Tom Manning of Cleveland ought to know all about him. Jack Russell of the Senators. Infielders, Frank Higgins of the Athletics, Jimmy Dykes of the White Sox. Outfielders, Earl Averill of the Indians,
Ben Chapman of the Yanks, and Sammy West to the Browns. Of course, Tom Manning thinks that both Mel Harder and Earl Averill should be right in there now in the beginning of the game. But they're not. We'll probably see them all later. Catching, Rick Farrell of the Red Sox. I'm talking about extra players now, you know. The Nationals have, as pitchers, Lon Warnke, that great southpaw of the Cubs, Dizzy Dean, who with his brother is keeping the Cards right up near the top, Van Mungo from the Dodgers, and over in Brooklyn, they think Van Mungo is the greatest pitcher in either league, and I'm not sure he is. With a lowly team this year, unfortunately, for the Dodgers, Van Mungo has been pitching great ball. Then they also have Fred Frankhouse of the Braves. It seems to be the general opinion around among those who might know something about it that the National League pitching will top the American League pitching today to some extent. But pretty soon you'll know all about it. As extra infielders in the Nationals, Pepper Martin of the Cards. He's that baby that went crazy and just about won a World Series all by himself a few years ago. 3 years ago, 31. Floyd Vaughn of the Pirates. It was, we had thought that Floyd might go in playing shortstop right away as Jackson has had some eye trouble, but Jackson will start. Billy Herman of the Cubs. Outfielders for the Nationals, extra men, Paul Wehner of the Pirates. Mel Ott of the Giants and Chuck Klein of the Cubs. Just think of a baseball team that keeps Paul Wehner, Mel Ott, and Chuck Klein on the base. Boy, oh boy. Also, the extra catcher, Al Lopez of the Dodgers. The umpiring done today will be by Brick Owen and George Moriarty from the American League, and Charlie Furman and Dolly Stott of the National League. Besides manager Joe Cronin, the American team will have the services of Walter Johnson, the old master pitcher from Washington, you know.
Walter Johnson will be on the coaching line, and Al Shaq will also be on the line for the American League. And the National League team will be similarly served by manager Bill McKechnie and manager Casey Stengel. Casey Stengel, you know, I remember one day out here when Casey Stengel slapped out 2 home runs in a World Series, won a ball game for the Giants. What a day that was for old Casey. No doubt about that. Anyway, altogether, it looks as though a grand and glorious baseball game was going to begin very, very soon. The managers of the teams, the captains of the teams, and the 4 umpires have gathered around the home plate for a last-minute conference before this ball game starts. I don't think there's a seat in the house. That means there must be somewhere in the neighborhood of 55 to 60,000 people crammed in the Polo Grounds this afternoon on one of the most beautiful baseball days you ever saw in your life. Both Gomez and Hubble are down there left-handing him into their catchers on the sidelines, getting warmed up for the game. And I want you all to know that in a few moments we'll turn the microphone over to Tom Manning of Cleveland. Tom, you know, has been telling you about World Series since time immemorial, and he's also going to give us play-by-play scoring today. Tommy Manning, that carrot-topped redhead from Cleveland, Ohio. Here, quit that, Tom. And also with us is Ford Bond. Ford Bond has been telling you all about the baseball scores daily through this season. And he's been making a fine baseball game out of the news results following the game. Ford has been telling you about every game. They haven't missed a game yet, have you, Ford? No, he says he hasn't missed a game. Of course, if he falls out of this box, he might miss tomorrow's game, but we'll try to keep him in. The field has been cleared now. The boys are still standing around the home plate. Joe Cronin and Bill Terry. And I see Walter Johnson is there, too. And I believe... I don't know whether it's going to be before the game or not, but I believe it will. It will be. The unveiling of the tablet for John McGraw. John McGraw, the little Napoleon, as he was called for many years. Yes, the drapes have been pulled back from the tablet commemorating the history of John McGraw and the Giants. It's out in center field. The tablet to McGraw is located just above the tomb Or it's not the tomb. It isn't exactly a tomb, but the stone plaque out in center field at the center field exit, which was erected some years ago for that war boy, Captain Eddie Grant, formerly of the Giants. Just above the memorial to Eddie Grant is a plaque to Christy Masterson, who many people say, many of the old enthusiasts claim, was absolutely the greatest pitcher of all time. Ross Young also is in memory out there with another plaque next to Christy Masterson. Ross Young, you know, was that great outfielder of the New York Giants some years ago, and the Giants and the world lost him. Eddie Grant, Christy Masterson, and Ross Young, and now above all of these is placed the bronze plaque in memory of John McGraw, one of the greatest leaders of baseball men who ever lived, unquestionably, and one of the real old-timers. He and Connie Mack, up to a short time ago, were the only two of the real old-timers left. And now we have but one, Connie Mack, who I believe is now in his 72nd year.
That's about correct.
I believe Connie is that old, but to know Connie, you would never think he was that old. And it was a terrific blow to baseball, of course, to lose John McGraw. But he felt that he was not in good health. He resigned from his managership of the New York Giants, and they were his greatest love all his life. And it wasn't very long before it seemed that the body simply could not hold the soul any longer after he had lost his beloved Giants, and so he passed from us. Now this ball game is going to start in just a very few moments, and I think Tommy Manning would like to warm himself up here talking for a few moments before this baseball game commences. Tommy Manning will tell you first about the play-by-play through the entire game. Between innings, Ford Bond will talk to us and give us some of the high spots inning by inning. After the game, it'll be my pleasure to come back again on the microphone and talk about the game to some extent. Not too long, I hope. And now this is Graham McNamee speaking. The National League is the National Broadcasting Company. The National Broadcasting Company is sending you the details of this game. And here's Red Tom Manning. Come in, Tom.
Good afternoon, everybody. As Graham has told you, it is really a great day here at the Polo Grounds in New York, and what a ball game we all anticipate. Before we get started this afternoon, I want you to know that Ford Bond is going to speak to you throughout the game, and if you don't mind, Graham McNamee, of course, has given all of us so many fine thrills during his broadcasting career. We're mighty happy to tell you today and to congratulate Graham McNamee. Today is his birthday. Is that right, Ford?
That's right. That's right. Graham's celebrating a birthday and showing all of his presents and claiming, what is it, 26 or 24 that he was asking about a while ago. Well, the players are all walking out now to have their pictures taken together with a few of the umpires. The National Leaguers have come out. Today, the National League are wearing their home uniforms, and of course, each one of them decorated with their individual insignia of the teams. You see the Cardinals and the Pirates and the Giants, all of them down there. Just for a moment, while we have time, we're going to check through this batting order so that you'll have it firmly in your mind or on your sheet if you're following and keeping scores of the play-by-play account which will be given you by Tom Manning. We'll check through the American batting order here for the moment. Gehringer will lead off. Gehringer, the second baseman on the American lineup today. This will be followed by Manu. And the crowd rings out with applause for that National League crowd as they stand out. They're all having a picture taken, almost as many ball players as there are photographers, but I think the photographers outnumber them. Manush is second, then Ruth, third in the lineup, which is his usual place in the Yankees batting order, followed by that thundering artilleryman who bombards almost every park that he gets into, 24 home runs so far this season, Lou Gehrig. First four, Gehringer, Manush, Ruth, and Gary. Then fifth in the batting order and wearing the number five today is Fox, manning third base here in the starting lineup, followed by that crashing center fielder, Simmons. Simmons is sixth and also wearing that number. Then Cronin, placing himself seventh in the batting order. He occupies fourth in the Senators' batting order of his home team. He's managing this club today, this American League club, and he's placed himself seventh in the batting order. Bill Dickey, the catcher, occupying the eighth place, and Gomez, the starting pitcher, the ninth. Now the players are broken up down there for the moment and are running out to their position. So we'll go through the National League batting order right quickly here. Frisch, leadoff man and second baseman of the National League team today. Trainer, third baseman and occupying the second place in the batting order. Medwick, followed by Kyler, Kai Kyler, the right fielder. Then Berger, Perry, Jackson next, who is playing short. We thought that Vaughn might start, but Jackson's been chosen to start. Hartnett, Gabby Hartnett, the Cubs catcher, who is starting off as catcher for the National League, is down there now. He's put on his protector and his shin guards, and Hubble walks out and picks up a ball on the mound. And Hubble occupying the ninth position in the batting order. He's warming up now, tossing over a few to Gabby Hartnett, who wings it back. And the infielders are tossing the ball around. It goes over to Bill Terry. He wings it across on the ground over to Pied Trainer on third. Getting just about ready, and Gehringer, the second baseman and leadoff man for the American League team, is up there now measuring his map and feeling of it. And here's Tom Manning to give you the start of this great game, the all-stars of the American and National Leagues, with the American League up at bat, with Gehringer up there at the plate. And here's Tom Manning.
Well, just about set to go now. Thurman is behind the plate umpiring. Thurman of the National League, you know. George Moriarty of the American League is at third. Rick Owen is at first. And Dolly Stark is at second base. Dolly Gehringer steps into the batter's box. Here's the windup. The great Paul Hubble. And the first ball pitch. It's a foul down first base. Strike one. The ball is received over there by Robert Johnson, manager of the Cleveland Indians. And was delayed for a moment. The ball got away from Walter and Bill Terry, manager and first baseman of today's game, finally receives the ball and tosses it back to the National League dugout. Now ready to go again. Gehringer up, you know, strikes one. Ball, it's a fastball, misses the outside corner of the plate, just a little bit too high. That one was not quite as fast as the first ball that Hubble tossed in there. Or the ball one and strike one on Charlie Gehringer, you know, that great second baseman of the Detroit Tigers. Here it is. Ball two. Another hook ball. Misses the outside corner of the plate. Hubble stood there, bending down for a moment, looking in. Then it's a ball and the count on Charlie Gehringer. Ball two and strike one. Here it is. He swings. It's a base hit. Frankie Frisch dives for the ball. It's out in the center field. It's fumbled. Gehringer's grounding first, going to second. It's close to goal. He's safe. He's safe at second base. That will be scored as a single for Charlie Gehringer and as error for center fielder Wally Berger. Charlie Gehringer with a count ball two and strike one. Matt Chapman through the infield. Frankie Frisch, the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, who is playing second base, goes along the ground. It got barely missed his fingertip. Rolled on out of the center field where it was fumbled by Berger. Charlie Gehringer playing heads up around the first base, and it was awful, awful close at second. He slid in, and he and Jackson were on the ground, but he is safe. He is on second. Now we have Heinemann, the left fielder of the Washington Senators. A big, husky, left-hand hitter is up. Heine, you know, is the only major leaguer who has a batting average of 402. The first pitch is a ball outside. Strike swinging. Heine Manu was not getting on that one. He swung from all the way back, and the count on Heine Manu, the second man up in the first inning. Ball one and strike one. Charlie Gehringer on second base, nobody out. The pitch, it's a ball. Heine Manu taking almost a half swing. Gabby Hartnett turned around, pointed his finger to the umpire with the ball in his hand, but the umpire had called it a ball. So the count on Heine Manu, a left-hand hitter, is ball two and strike one. Here's the pitch. He swings, he misses. Strike two. Heine Manu taking a long cut at that one. Undoubtedly has his eye on that right field bleachers here at the Polo Grounds, which is 294 feet from home plate and about 15 feet high.
The count on man who's ball two, strike two, nobody out, carrying around second. Here it is, double pitching. Ball three. A hook ball was just a little bit low on the outside. Now the count on Heine Mannus. Ball three and strike two. It's the first inning of this all-star ball game at the Polo Grounds in New York. The National Broadcasting Company sending you the description. Nobody out. Gehring around second. Heine Mannus with a count. Ball three. Strike two. Something's got to happen. Here it is. It's a ball. A ball that was over the plate but just a little bit low. And Heine Mannus walked. Now we have Heine on first, Charlie Gehring around second, and some mighty Sussman clap. Listen to that cheer for Babe Ruth. Just at the moment, manager Bill Perry, Frankie Frisch, Travis Jackson, High Trainer are all in there around Paul Hubbell, and they're having, as Bill Mundy would say, a clap gutted. And by the way, Bill Bundy is here with us in the box today. And a little later on, we're going to have Bill come over and say hello to you. I know you'll all be anxious to hear him. Ball players may come and they may go, but here is the king of them all in the batter's box. Pulling that old bat up and down, he knocks the dust off his shoes, and he's ready to face the great Paul Hubbell. The pitch, it's a strike over the heart of the plate. A ball strike on Babe Ruth. It's the first inning, you know. Nobody out. Heine Mannus is on first. The result of the base on balls. Charlie Gehringer is on second base. Here's the pitch. Ball is outside. Ball one and strike one. Fans are all yelling the American League fans of sports. The crowd is split here. And the American League fans, of course, are pulling for Babe to park one of the bleachers. One and one, the pitch. He swings, he misses. It's a strike. Babe Ruth swung the way back on that one. He was aiming for it someplace over in Coogan's Bluff. I don't know, but he was certainly swinging from way back. Strike two and ball one is the count. Heine Mannus is on first. Charlie Gehringer is on second. Nobody is out. Paul Hubbell, the great National League southpaw, the Giants is in the box. Here it is. Strike three! Strike three! He's out! Boy, what a thrill that these 60,000 fans got out of that. The mighty Babe Ruth is up there, and with the National Leaguers nervous with runners on first and second in this important ball game, Babe Ruth coming up there, and with a count 2-1, Paul Hubbell hooked one over the inside corner. The base pulled away, and it was a call strike. Now we have one man out. But it isn't all over yet. They're all sluggers. Lou Gehrig is up, and we're ready to go. Lou Gehrig knocks the dust off his shoes, pulls down his cap, and takes his stance in there. Hits a ball. High, outside. This boy, Gehrig, you know, is plenty responsible for the position of the New York Yankees in the American League. Here's the pitch. He swings, he misses. Strike two. Lou Gehrig, the mighty hitting first batter of the New York Yankees, is up there with runners on first and second. One man out. Ball. That was low inside. Gehrig stepped up on that, all ready to punch it, but it broke low inside, and now the count is ball two and strike one. Gabby Hartman of the Chicago Cubs is the catcher. Paul Hubbell is in the box. The first inning. One man out. No score. Runners on first and second. Here's the pitch to Gehrig. It's too low. Ball three. Carl Hubbell is working awfully hard out there. And well, he should, with this array of sluggers coming up. Jimmy Fox is hanging around home plate. You've all heard, of course, of Jimmy Fox. Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox following in a row. Murderer's Row, make no mistake about it. 3-1 is the count, and here's the pitch. It's a strike, a fastball, right down the old alley. Gehrig has elected to work out his string with Paul Hubbell, and now the count is ball three and strike two. It is very possible now that Gehringer on second, Mannus on first, will be off with the pitcher's motion. However, we have but one out. We shall see the attack of Joe Cronin on this next play. 3-2-0. Manouche has a big lead off first. There they go. They're running. Jerry swings. He misses. He strikes out. But the double steal was attempted, and Goering has it in, got the head of the ball, and it's safe. Mike Trainer, the third baseman for the National Leaguers, is now arguing with umpire George Moriarty. That was very, very close. Lou Gehrig swung and missed the third strike, and with the runners off with the pitcher's motion, you know the count was 3-2, and they were off, and Charlie Goeringer stood in just ahead of that throw. It was very, very close, but George Moriarty of the American League had his throw right over that play at third base and declared Charlie Goeringer safe.
It's a stolen base for Goeringer and a stolen base for Heinie Minnuch. Manager Bill Terry, Travis Jackson, and several of the other boys now have walked over as far as the pitcher's box, but the argument at third base is over. They are now planning the attack on Jimmy Fox, one of the greatest right-hand hitters of all time. While we have a moment, let us see the picture again. It is the first inning of this all-star ball game in the Polo Grounds of New York City. Sally Goeringer is on third base. Heinie Minnuch of the Washington Senators is on second. We have two men out, and that mighty hitter of Connie Mack, Philadelphia Athletic, is now at the plate. Kyle Hubbard is winding up. Here's the pitch to Fox. He swings, he misses. Strike one. Boy, how this couple is burning him across the plate. Pitching his old heart out there for the cause of the National League. Striking out with those two great hitters, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. Two men out, runners on second and third. Fox is up. Strike the pitch. Ball one. That was a curveball that bit the inside, and the count is ball one and strike one on Jimmy Fox. Jimmy Fox is playing third base for the American Leaguers this afternoon. Here's the windup again. Ball one, strike one. It's a foul. Foul up over the stands and back, and the count on Jimmy Fox is strike two. Gabby Hartnett gets a new ball from umpire Fairbairn and whips it down to Pike Trainer at third. Trainer takes his glove off, rubs it up a little, and then runs halfway over to the pitcher's box where he tosses it to Carl Hubbell. Boy, what pitching this Hubbell is doing out there. The first two men on, up got on, and then he struck out Ruth and Jerry. And here's the pitch. Strike two and ball one. Ball two. Ball two. It was high outside, and the count on Jimmy Fox is strike two and ball two. No score as yet in the first half of the first inning. Two men out. Goeringer is on third. Manouche is on second. And Fox is up. 2-2. And here it is. The pitch. He swings. He's out. He's out. He struck out. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. He struck out. Three strikeouts for Carl Hubbell. Come in for it, Vaughn.
A ball player's dream, yes, sir, a manager's dream, and a pitcher's nightmare. That's what this is when you face these murderer's rows that come out here to bat. And what an achievement that was of Carl Hubbell's manager in this first inning. Here is a resume of what happened, just to go over it briefly. The American League first inning, Gehringer leading off, the count goes to 2-1, and he snaps a sharp single to center field, going into second base on Berger's error in center field, and he slid hot into second there with Frisch receiving the throw, and the umpire called him safe. Single and an extra base on Berger's error. Then Manouche comes up, and it goes to 3-2, and then the next one sails over is a ball, and Manouche walks, and there's two men on base,
and nobody out, and then ensued that big conference there in the infield with Bill Terry coming over to find out how your star pitcher Carl Hubbell was going to do with two men on, and then these two murderers coming up, Babe Ruth and Gehrig. Well, Ruth steps up there. The count went to one and one ball and two strikes, and then the Babe standing there looking at one, and it comes over, and the umpire's hand goes up in the air, and the man is out. Yes, sir. Babe called out on strike. Gehrig comes up, and he goes out swinging, and Gehringer and Manouche go down to second and third, to third and second respectively. Then Jimmy Fox comes up and strikes out a great achievement, Carl Hubbell. Here we go into the second half of the first inning. Tom Manning.
Frankie Frisch is up. Second baseman, you know, manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. Frankie bats him right-handed. Lefty Gomez is in the box for the American Leaguers. Frankie gets a hold of it. Yes, indeed, Frankie Fritz certainly got a hold of that one and parked it in the upper deck of the right field pavilion, directly up about 40 feet above the 395-foot sign. That ball was well hit. And now we have Clyde Trainer up, another right-hand batter. Strike ball. That was a curve ball that Gomez had over the outside corner of the plate, and the count on Clyde Trainer is strike one. The next one, it's a ball. High outside, and the count is ball one and strike one. Just imagine what we've seen here in the first inning so far. Sorry, old boy. It's a foul upstairs and back of the plate, and the count on Frankie Fritz is strike two and ball one. Fritz steps out of the box for a moment, knocks the dirt off his shoes, then steps back in there again. But he finds Lefty Gomez walking around the second base side of the box, fumbling the rosin bag. But now we're ready to go. Strike two and ball one on Clyde Trainer. He swings and misses. It was a tip ball that got away from Bill Dickey. So the count remains strike two and ball one. Well, the National Leaguers are out in front now, of course, by the score of 1-0. This is the last half of the first inning. Nobody on. Frankie Fritz. First up, smacked out a homer. Has the ground ball down second base way. Gehringer is up with it. Crosses to Gary. And Trainer is out at first. One man out and nobody out. That was a nice play by Charlie Gehringer. Charlie, of course, makes a lot of brilliant plays down there at second base. He had to run over far to his right. And he whipped the ball underhand, so high to Lou Gehrig.
We have one man out and Joe Medwick is up. Joe Medwick, also the St. Louis Cardinals. He bats them right-handed. He hits the first ball pitch. A high fly deep into left field. Manu's coming over. Coleman going out. Coleman ran all the way out near the stand, but just failed to make the catch, and it is a strike. Coleman went a long way out for that one. Heine Manu's is playing over in deep left center field for Joe Medwick, and the ball was hit just alongside of the bleachers out here in the left field corner. Joe Cronin just barely had his fingertips on that ball, but couldn't hold it. Players are walking back to their positions rather slowly now. Heine Manuch back to left field, and Cronin and Fox coming in to third and short. Now we're ready to go again. Lefty Gomez in the box. Medwick is up. Strike on the pitch. It's a foul. Up over the press box, and the count on Joe Medwick is strike two. Last half of the first inning. The National Leaguers won, American Leaguers nothing. Billy Medwick, one of the finest looking young ball players to come up in years, is at the plate. Strike two, and here's the pitch. He swings and misses. He thought it was a tip ball, but it was not. He is still claiming it was a tip ball. Dickey dropped the ball and tagged him out. But Medwick is still talking to the umpire, but the umpire says it was not a tip ball. And he has declared out a strikeout. Now we have two men out and nobody on. Joey Medwick thought that he tipped that ball. But if he did, the umpire did not hear it. And it was the third strike swinging. Two out, nobody on. Ty Carter, the Chicago Cubs, is up. Ty, you know, also batting him right-handed this afternoon. Ty is quite a ball player. He's been up a long time, and many a thrill he has given the National League fans. Ball, high outside. Next hits the plate, and it's ball two. Ty Carter is up there the last half of the first inning. Two outs, nobody on, and the count is ball two. He swings. It's grounded on shortstop way. Coleman comes up with it, tosses to Gary, and Tyler is out at first. That retires the National Leaguers in the first inning. They have one run on one hit. At the end of the first inning, the National Leaguers won. American Leaguers nothing. Come in for it.
And what a thrill rang through these stands when Frankie Frisch stepped up to that plate. A ball shot over, and it was called a ball. Then he settled himself, gave a hitch to his pants, wiped his hands on the dirt, picked up that bat, leaned over the plate, and looked at the next delivery that Gomez shot in, and wanged it high, hard, and far into the upper deck of the right field stand for a thrilling homer. And how that does lift the fans out of their seats. A thrill when that ball leaves with the crack of the bat and smashes straight and direct for those upper right field stands. So a run came in, and Gomez settled down. Trainer, the second man in the National League batting order, who came up the count. Down to second base. Here he came over, threw it up fast, got it to Gears over on first, and he was out. One out. National Leaguers' first inning. Then Medwick. Medwick came to bat. Struck out. Tyler came up. Got it down to Korn. He's out Korn to Gehrig. And here we go with Simmons up at bat, I believe, in the second inning. And Tom Manning coming in to give it to you.
Carl Hubbell, the southpaw. The Giants is in the box again. Al Simmons, the right-hand hitter, is up the pitch. Ball one. A fastball was high on the outside. As we go into the first half of the second inning, the National Leaguers are out in front by the score of 1-0. Al Simmons leads off for the Americans in the second inning. He swings and misses, a mighty swing, turning all the way around. That's a beautiful pivot, you know, that Simmons has. Takes his toes in the dirt, swings all around, and the count is ball one and strike one. Manager Joe Cronin is hanging around home plate. Coming up next, the pitch, strike two. There was that old screwball, came in there shoulder high, and then dove down, and Simmons swung over it, and the count is strike two and ball one. First man up for the American Leaguers in the second inning. Here's the pitch. He's out! He's swinging! Strikes out! One gone. That was a change of pace offering that Carl Hubbell had in there, letter high. Simmons took a good toe hold and swung. Boy, that constitutes some sort of a record. Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, and Al Simmons all striking out in succession. Boys and girls, this boy Hubbell is a pitcher. Joe Cronin is up there. He hits him right-handed, you know. The first is a foul up and back. Up on top of the press box, and the count on Joe Cronin is strike one. Simmons crosses out another new ball. Gabby Hartman puts it down to Bill Terry at first. Terry rubs it off a little bit and then crosses it over to Carl Hubbell. First half of the second inning, 1-0 in favor of the National Leaguers. One man out and nobody is on. Here's the pitch to Cronin. Strike two, swinging. That old blue ball of Carl Hubbell's is working in there beautifully this afternoon. It must be when you strike out four hitters like that. Blue, Jerry, Clark, Ben Simmons. Now he has the count 2-0 on Joe Cronin. One man out, nobody on the pitch. It's too high. Ball one. That was just about the fastest ball that Hubbell has tossed in there this afternoon with a count 2-0. He's a smart pitcher, you know. He's whipped that fast one in there. Here's the pitch again. Good one. Strike three, swinging. He struck him out. Five strikeouts in a row for Lefty Hubbell of the National League. First half of the second inning, the American League is the left bat. And we have two men out and nobody on. Benefit of those who have just tuned in. Carl Hubbell has struck out the last five batters. Here's Bill Dickey. Strike. The foul up in front of the press box, and it's strike one. Bill Dickey bats him left-handed. Bill Dickey, you know, is a great, tall, lean catcher of the New York Yankees. Foul. That was a hook ball that got away from Hubbell. It was outside and a little bit low, and the count is ball one and strike one. What a ball game we're watching. Ball one and strike one. Here's the windup. Two out, nobody on. Strike two, ball. That was a ball that Bill Dickey pulled away from, and it broke over the heart of the plate for a tall strike. And the count now is strike two, ball one. The American League is batting in the second inning. Two out. Nobody on. Here's the pitch. Strike two and ball one. He bangs it at the base hit into left field. A base hit into left field. The ball is received by Medwick. He tosses it into Travis Jackson at second base. And Dickey stops at first. That's the second hit of the afternoon for the American Leaguers. And now Lefty Gomez, who is in the box for the American Leaguers, comes to the plate. The score, the National League is one, the American League is nothing. It's the first half of the second inning. two men have been retired, and Bill Dickey is on first. Gomez swings and throws that all the way down to Bill Terry at first base. Bill Terry picks the bat up and is walking all the way into home plate. He doesn't throw it back, but he's walking all the way into home plate. And very gentlemanly hands the bat to Lefty Gomez and makes some kind of comment. Yes, sir. Bill Terry picked that bat up right from his position at first base and walked all the way into the batter's box and handed it to Lefty Gomez. Strike one is the count. Two out. Dickey on first. The pitch. Strike two. He swings. That was a long follow through. Very beautiful golf swing that Lefty Gomez had on display that time. Strike two is the count, you know. Two men out, and Bill Dickey is on first. Charlie Gallagher hanging around home plate. Here's the pitch. Strike three, swinging. Lefty Gomez, the pitcher of the American League, struck out, making his sixth strikeout for the power hubble of the National League. It scores 1-0 as we go into the first half of the second inning. Come in for it.
The American League half of the second inning started off with Simmons up. And, of course, the fans hanging onto the edge of their seats with Simmons at bat after Hubble had struck out Ruth and Gehrig in the first inning. So Simmons came up. The count went to one ball and two strikes, one and two on him. And then he swung hard and collected an awful lot of air on the end of his bat. The fourth strikeout for Hubble. Then Joe Cronin came up. The count went at one. The count went at one and two on him. And he whiffed with a vicious cut at that ball, missing it, mixing the fifth man. Then Bill Dickey came up. Surefire hitter Bill Dickey, a great catcher, and the American League catcher this afternoon. And he wanged a nice little Texas leaguer out into left field, just over the shortstop head and not far enough up for Medwick to do anything about it out in left field for a single. Gomez came to bat. Gomez, who's had that contest on with Johnny Broca of the Yankees to see who could get the most hits this season. So far, Gomez had five, and he struck out three straight. So here we go into the National League half, the second inning, and here's Tom Henning to give it to you.
Wally Berger, right-hand hitter, is first up. He swings at the first ball, takes it as a foul, up and back, strike one. Lefty Gomez, you know, is in the box for the American Leaguers with Bill Dickey behind the bat. We have a moment. For those who just tuned in, Gehrig's at first, Gehringer at second, Cronin at short, and Jimmy Fox of the Athletics at third. The outfielders, Ruth, Simmons, and Manute. Strike two, swinging. Wally Berger, you know, is one of the long-distance hitters of the National League. Well, as far as that's concerned, everybody out here is a long-distance hitter today. Berger's the first man up for the National Leaguers in the last half of the second. The pitch, a long smash, is high in left field. A long smash, of course, high over the pavilion in left field, and it's strike two on Wally Berger. Scores 1-0, you know, in favor of the National Leaguers. The result of Frankie Frisch's home run. Frankie Frisch was the first man up for the National Leaguers in the first inning. Parked it in the upper deck of the right field stands for a homer. Strike three. Wally Berger strikes out swinging. That's the second strikeout of the afternoon. Bill Perry is coming up. Bill gets a great ovation from the crowd as he steps to the plate. Bill is well liked here in New York City, and he should be. Bill is a great ball player. Bill is the manager of the National League today. He's a left-hand hitter, the first pitch. Ball one, a fast ball is outside. Travis Jackson, shortstop and captain of the Giants, is next. There's a long smash in the center field, but Simmons coming in. Simmons is under it. He has it. Very, very high fly, center field. Al Simmons, you know, is usually found in left field for the Chicago White Sox. He's open center field this afternoon with Heinie Meadows playing left. Travis Jackson, shortstop for the Giants, right-hand hitter, is next up. They said last one of the Jackson is all washed up on account of a bad knee, but that knee is plenty sound this year, and he's playing a whale of a game. Strike, swinging. That was a fast ball just under the chin, but Jackson took a great cut at it. Two out, and nobody on. Strike two, ball. That was a nice curve ball, letter high. Ball bounded out of Dickey's glove, rolls 2 feet toward third. Bill retrieved it and tossed it back to Gomez, and we're ready to go. Two out. Nobody on. Jackson up. Strike two. 1-0 in favor of the National Leaguers. Here's the pitch. Gomez takes an extra long windup this time, and here it is. It's a ball that was over the plate, but just a little bit low, and the count on Travis Jackson is strike two and ball one. Two out. Nobody on. And here comes strike three. Swinging. That was a slow cut, but Jackson took it back. That's all for the National Leaguers in the second inning. No runs, no hits, no errors. Four bombs.
Looking like this game is going to settle the argument about which it takes to win ball games, heavy hitters or great pitchers, because the pitchers are tying these heavy hitting lineups in the knot this afternoon. The National League second inning, Gomez first pitching to Berger. Berger came up and went down on three straight balls, all of them strikes, and he swung hard at the third one and tore through a lot of the ozone above the plate and got exactly nothing at all. Then Bill Terry came up to the cheers of the stands, a very popular player, great first baseman, and great manager of the New York Giants, came up, and it went to 1-0 on him, a ball and no strikes, and then he walloped a towering high fly. It sailed way high up into the center field. Simmons moved in under it and took it nicely for the second out. Then Travis Jackson came to bat. Travis Jackson up, and Gomez had his number two. Jackson went down swinging, retiring the National League here in the second inning. So we come with the score 1-0 in favor of the National League into the third inning with the American League at bat, the National Broadcasting Company bringing it to you. Here's Tom Manning to tell you about the play-by-play here in the third inning.
The American League is 1-1 behind as they come to bat, and Charlie Carrier, the Detroit Tigers second baseman, is again the leadoff man. First time up, Charlie singles to center field. Went to second on the center fielder's bubble. First pitch is a ball inside. Ball two. That was a hook ball that hit the outside corner. And the count on Charlie Carrier, who bats him left-handed, is 2-0. Charlie had always borne over
Oliverville, Michigan, May 11th, 1903. Strike, ball. Ball two and strike one. You can all get a picture of Charlie, 5 feet, 11 and a half, and 180 pounds. Came to Detroit in 1925 from Toronto. Got a batting average, a grand average of 382 for the year. Charlie gets a hold of extra and drives it deep into right field. And Tyler goes back and makes that nice running catch at the edge of the track in deep right field. Boy, that ball was hit right on the label. Looked like it was going places for a moment, but Ty Carter turned it back with a crack of the bat and dashed out to the center track and made a sweet running catch for the first out. One down. Nobody on. Ty Strainer and Bill Terry are over in the pitcher's box now, having a bit of a conference with Carl Hubbell. Conference is over, and Heidi Manouche is coming up. Last time up, Heidi walked. Hit the first ball, pitch the grounded on second base play. Frankie pushes up with it. Crosses to Terry. Manouche is out. Two men out. Nobody on. Four of those National Leaguers are whipping that ball around that infield with the speed of lightning. They're certainly all set up right on their toes this afternoon. Manouche gets a great ovation as he comes up for the second side. Half time up, Manouche. Look out. The American League is half of the third inning, 1-1 behind, two outs, nobody on, and Babe Ruth is up. Strike, ball. Rather slow curveball, just above the knees and over the heart of the plate. They've decided to wait for another one. A called strike, 1-0 is the count. The pitch, ball. That was over, just a little bit too low, and the count on Babe Ruth. Ball one and strike one. The score is 1-0 in favor of the National Leaguers. First half of the third inning. Two outs. Nobody on. Hubbell pitching. Here it is. It's too low. Ball two and strike one on Babe Ruth. Lou Gehrig is hanging around home plate. Lou is coming up there next, you know. Two outs. Nobody on. Babe Ruth. Ball two. Strike one. The pitch. A foul over into the National League's dugout, which is along first base, and that evens the count at ball two and strike two. a lot of pepper out there on the National League's infield. A lot of baseball brains out there, incidentally. Three managers, Terry, Frisch, and Trainer. And the captain, Travis Jackson. 2-2, the pitch. Pass three. That one dried. Bade Ruth away from the plate. It was high inside. And now the count on the base. Ball three and strike two. Nobody on base, and all two out. Here's the windup. 3-2. Ball four. That was high inside. Driving the Babe again out of the batter's box. And he walked. Lou Gehrig coming up. Last time up, Gehrig struck out. I don't see anybody warming up for the National League as yet. So it's just possible that Bill Terry will allow Hubble to go along a little longer. Gehrig up. Strike one. This is a foul back. Babe Ruth is on first base. First half of the third inning, two outs. Jimmy Fox is hanging around home plate now. Here's the pitch. Gets a hold of it, a ball, smash to right field, over near the wall. Tyler Glover close to the wall and makes the catch, and that's all. That was two mighty giants, that inning by Gehringer and Gary. But it's all over for the American Leaguers in the first half of the third. Come in, 4-5.
Well, if Gehrig had pulled around just a little harder on that one, the score, there'd have been two runs in that inning because the Babe was down on first. Gehrig came up and smashed that ball hard right on the old schnozzle out in the right field. If he'd have pulled it around just about 25 feet, it would have sailed over that low barrier into those right field stands. But Neil, well, that's what between inning resumes are built on. Gehringer was the first man up, leadoff man for the Americans in the third. And he banged a long, hard hit fly way out to the bullpen in right field. But Cacti Kyler was out there with a crack of the bat and took it on the run for a ninth running catch for the first out. Then Manoush came up. Manoush banged one, a draft cutter down to Frisch on second. He was out on a fast play, Frisch to Terry. And two men were gone. The Babe came up, two out, nobody on. Count went to 3-2 on him. And then he got a walk. Gehrig came up and smashed that long one out into right field. But Tyler took that one right. This right field is hard to measure here. The angles are peculiar on it. Here we go into the National League share of the third inning now. And the batter's coming into the box, and here's Tom Manning.
Gabby Hartnett, the catcher of today's game, catcher for the Chicago Cubs, right-hand hitter, is first up. And on the first pitch from Gomez, he fouls it up on the rope in back of home plate. And the count on Gabby Hartnett is strike one. Carl Hubble, the next hitter. Has a ground ball over the pitcher's head down short corner and in fast. Has it. Whips it to Gehrig and Hartnett is out. That was a fast play by Joe Cronin, the shortstop. Of a lazy hopper just out of Gomez's reach. Now we have one man out in the National League half of the third inning. We're going to have a pinch hitter for Kyle Hubble.
Herman. Billy Herman, a right-hand hitter, draft for Carl Hubble. Hubble has pitched his three innings and is through for the day.
Gets the first ball pitch, the high fly out in the short left field. Stolen going back, Manoush in. Stolen is under it and has it reached for the out. That was the high fly. Manoush and Stolen both going after it. Now we have two men out and nobody on. Billy Herman hitting the first ball pitch to short left field, where it was taken by Joe Cronin. Once more, we have the top of the National League's batting order coming up. Frankie Frisch, who is responsible for the National League's advantage of one run, who smacked that home run in the first inning, high into the upper deck of the right field stand. Ball one. That was a driving serve ball. It was over, but just a little bit too high. The count on Frankie Frisch is strike one. Or ball one, rather. Ball two. The third ball is high outside, and the count is 2-0. 2-0 on Frankie Frisch, the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. That's a high foul down toward first base. Gehrig is going back fast over near the stands, but it's a little too deep into the boxes and back to first base, and it's a strike. Gehrig is certainly a fighting ball player. He danced over for that one. Never looked up until he got his hand on the little barrier in front of the boxes and looked up. But the ball is in the boxes a little too deep. And the count on Frankie Frisch, ball two and strike one. The last half of the third inning, you know. Strike balls. Ball two and strike two. Two and two. Two out, nobody on. Ball three. That was a curveball outside. And now the count on Frankie Frisch is ball three and strike two. The fans have settled down for just a moment now with that great excitement that we had in the first inning. It's a ball low outside and Frankie Frisch left. Gomez had Frisch in the hole that time with a count two and two, but wasn't able to get the other two over. He just missed the corner with that third ball, but the other one was plenty low and outside. And Frisch is on first, two out, and Ty Trainer is up. Ty gets that nickname when he's a kid. He was always asking for pie. Ball one. That was a change of pace offering, a little bit high and inside. National League is batting in the last half of the third. Two out, Frisch on first. There's a long foul down to right field, and it's a strike. That was a hard smash down in right field. The fans all stood up as it left the bat, but it was fouled by 15 or 20 yards. Ball one and strike one. Ty Trainer is up. Manager and third baseman of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Foul up and back. Strike two and ball one. That ball was about forehead high. Trainer likes him high, and he fouled right into that one, but it was a foul back, and the count is strike two and ball one. Last half of the third inning, the National League is one, American League is nothing. We have two outs. Frankie Frisch is on first base. Lefty Gomez is in the box, and the count on Trainer is strike two and ball one. Here it is. It's a ground ball. Through the center of the infield, out in the center field. Al Simmons comes up with it, and he returns the ball to Fallon at second base while Frankie Frisch pulls up at third. Frankie Frisch reaches third base standing up. A base hit for Ty Trainer. That was a ground ball through the center of the infield, and it was received by Al Simmons in center field. Now we have Joey Medwick. Joey Medwick of the St. Louis Cardinals coming up. A ball. Low inside. Runners on first and third. You know, last half of the third inning. Two men out. Last time up, Medwick struck out. A foul back. And that evens the count at ball one and strike one. Here's the picture. Last half of the third inning. The National League is allowed in front by the score of 1-0. Ty Trainer is on first. Frankie Frisch is on third. Joe Medwick is up. He gets a hold back with a long smash. Going, going, going. Into the upper deck of the left field stand for a home run. Frankie Frisch crosses the plate. Ty Trainer is rounding third, going in. And here comes Joey Medwick. The fans are all standing up, giving Medwick a great ovation. A long home run into the upper deck of the left field stand for a home run. The National Leaguers are out in front by the score of 4-0. Listen to that crowd for a moment. Afternoon, the one by Frankie Frisch in the first inning and by Joe Medwick in the third. Those balls were hit right on the labels, and they sailed not into the lower deck, but both of them were high into the upper deck. Jimmy Fox, first bat up in the fourth for the American Leaguers. He hits that ground ball down short. A bad hop, but Jackson has it, puts it to Terry, and Fox is out. With a count ball, 3-2. Fox hit a ground ball down shortstop way. It took a nasty hop to Jackson. He took it just about at the tip of his cap, and then whipped it over to Bill Terry, and Fox is out. One gone. Al Simmons is up. Al Simmons is always playing center field this afternoon. Al is one of the greatest right-hand hitters of all time. Hits the ball. That was over the heart of the plate, but just a little bit low. And the count on Al Simmons is ball one. First half of the fourth inning, you know, one out, nobody on. 4-0 in favor of the National League. 4-0. Has a high foul over the stairs and back of the plate. And the count is ball one and strike one. A new ball is tossed out. Tom Warnick, you know, is much slower. Sanders style Hubble or Lefty Gomez. Well, the count on Al Simmons now is ball one and strike one. That's a long smash going up against the left field bleachers, and Simmons is going to second base. The ball panned off the wall into the hands of Medwick. Medwick hit the ball into Jackson, and it was a two base walk for Al Simmons. That ball was within a yard or so of going deep into the left center field. The bleachers. And that's plenty high out there, about 25 feet high. That was a two-base hit in anybody's ballpark. That's the first extra base hit of the afternoon for the National League. Charlie Gehringer, the first man up in the ball game, single that took second on the center field is fumble. Now we have one man out, Al Simmons on second base, and Joe Fonin is up. Joe Fonin, shortstop and manager of the American League this afternoon, as well as being manager of the Washington Senators. The first pitch from Warnicki. He hits it down left field. It's a base hit. Just inside, about a foot inside. There's the throw from Medwick to Jackson. Coleman was halfway down to second, but changed his mind and went back to first. And so Al Simmons went down to third base, kept right on going. If anybody's warming up, they must be. Oh, there they are, way down at center field. Oh, that's one of the National Leaguers warming up. Well, we have two men out in the first half of the fourth inning. Joe Coleman is on first, and Earl Averill is batting for Lefty Gomez. Averill, you know, hits him left-handed. Ron Warnicki, a right-hander, is in the box. The pitch. Ball on. A fastball is high inside. 1-0 is the count. Oh, it's funny, if Joe Thornton was sent to steal now and Averill would be declared out, he really wouldn't be in the ball game officially. Ball one is the count on Averill. Here's the pitch. It's too low. Ball two. Lonnie Warnicki, right-hander. Big tall right-hander. Out there in the box for the National League, having replaced Kyle Hubble. Oh, he's on the rubber again, ready to face Averill with a count 2-0 to pitch. Ball three, a fastball is too low. Charlie Gehringer is hanging around home plate. 3-0 is the count on Averill. Working that ball low outside for Earl. 3-0 is the count. Two outs. Coleman is on first. It is strike ball. Ball three and strike one. That was a burning fast ball right down the old alley. Felt high. 3-1 it is. Coleman is on first. Two men out. First half of the fourth. The pitch. He swings. It's a long, fast going, deep into right field. And it turns off the fence out there. Averill is rounding second. Coleman is rounding third. Here's the throw. Close at third. He flies. He's safe. A mighty three-base hit for Earl Averill. And Coleman crosses the plate. The National League is 4. The American League is 2. Earl Averill. triple coming down the old alley, and boy, did he hit it. He hit it, and he hit it some more. That was beautiful to watch. That ball was relayed from Tyler to Berger to third base. Earl Averill with a beautiful hook slide, beating the throw. Al Jackson down there, raising net at third base, whistling and what have you. 4-2 in favor of the National Leaguers. Two outs, Averill on third. Charlie Gehringer of the Detroit Tigers is up the left-hand batter. One single out of two trips to the plate. Hit the ball high inside. Heidi Manouche is hanging around. Well, it may develop into a slugfest before it's all over, eh? Here's the pitch. Hit the strike. A fast ball right in there, and the count on Charlie Gehringer, ball one and strike one. Charlie Gehringer, you know, is one of the most likable ball players in the major league. Never has a bad word to say about anybody. Ball one and strike one is his count. Ball two. That was a curve ball. That missed the outside corner to a left-hand sticker. And the count is ball two and strike one. First half of the fourth inning. The score, the National Leaguers 4, American Leaguers 2. Two men out. Averill on third. Ball two and strike one. And there it is. Ball three. Low outside, and the count is 3-1. Heidi Manouche is hanging around home plate, gets up now, and pulls his trousers down and waves that bat a few times. Gabby Hartnett walks out to have a bit of a conference with his battery mate, Lon Warnke. You know, this battery that we have in there now for the National Leaguers represents the century of progress and the city of Chicago in a big way. Gabby Hartnett, a fine catcher, and Lon Warnke, a very, very fine right-hand pitcher. Here's the picture again. First half of the fourth inning, two outs. Averill on third. Gehringer up ball three, strike one, the pitch. Hit too wide, and Gehringer walks. Charlie Gehringer walks, bringing Heidi Manu, the mighty left fielder, the slugger of the Washington Senators, is coming up. Charlie Gehringer is doing right well by himself this afternoon. A base knock the first time up, and the third time up, he gets a base on balls. Now we have Gehringer on first, Averill on third, two runs behind. Heidi Manouche is up, the left-hand batter with Lon Warnke pitching. Here it is. Strike one. He takes a terrific cut and misses. Strike one is the count on Heidi Manouche. Anything can happen now. Everybody on the edge of their seats here waiting for it. Strike one, the pitch. It's a very high infield fly over in foul territory now with Ty Crainer in the sun waiting for it, fielding his high as he has it. That's all for the American Leaguers in the fourth inning. That was another swell inning. The score now at the end of 3 1/2 innings, the National Leaguers 4, American Leaguers 2. Come in for it.
Warnke came in to pitch for the National League in the American League's half of the fourth inning, and he first had to face Fox, who came and up, and the count went to 3-2, and then he banged a hard grass cutter down to Travis Jackson, who fielded it very fast, shot it across the area, and got it to the bag just about 2 feet ahead of the runner. He then came up. Simmons banged that ball hard, high, and far, way out to the left field grandstand, and just missed clearing by about 1 yard the barrier above the lower deck. He got a two-bagger on it. So the man on base, one out, and one on. And Thornton at that. Thornton smacked one to left field, just about 2 feet in inside the left field foul line, scoring Simmons. A single for Joe Cronin. Dickey up, and he fouled to the upper deck. That's a long strike, and then went down on call strike. Averill came up, banged that ball about 260 yards into right field. There's a 455-foot marker out there about 10 yards short of it. A very, very hard hit ball. A three-bagger. Scoring Cronin, bringing the score up to 4-2. Gehringer came up and walked. Then Manouche at bat. A foul, a very high, towering high foul. Strainer moved over from third base and took it for the third out. Two runs in that inning on Lon Warnke. He hit Simmons, Cronin, and Averill. Three hits. Two runs, three hits, and no errors. Now we go into the National League half the fourth with a new pitcher coming in for the American League. It's
the Big Red. Charlie Ruffing, who's coming in for the American League here as we go into the National League tap the fourth, and here's Tom Manning to give it to you.
Wally Berger is first up with Charlie Ruffing pitching. The first is a ball high inside, and Wally Berger is forced to drop to the ground. Wally Berger playing center field this afternoon for the National League. Last time up, Wally struck out. A chip foul, it turns off Bill Dickey's shoulder and rolls back to the stand, and the count on Wally, ball one and strike one. Bill Terry coming up next. Wally Berger is first up, you know, in the last half of the fourth inning. The count, ball one and strike one. Strike two, Wally Berger swung at one that time. It was high over his head. The umpire delays the game for a moment to brush off home plate. Wally fell down, his feet kicked all the dirt on the platter, and now it's all washed up and ready for another meal. Strike two and ball one. It is. The high fly to the infield. It's going foul and Fox under it. Fox has it. He almost dropped that. The groan went up from the crowd. But there's his very bright sun there up over third base. Jimmy Fox stood there with his glove shielding the sun from his eyes and dragged it into foul territory and juggled the ball for a moment. But he hung on to it, and that's what counts. One man out, nobody on. Bill Terry is up. Terry, you know, hits from left hand. Strike one. This game is being broadcast and all from the Polo Grounds in New York City by the National Broadcasting Company. Bill Terry is up. Strike one. The foul back. Strike two. Last half of the fourth inning. One man out and nobody on. The score, the National Leaguers 4, American Leaguers 2. Bill Terry is up and Travis Jackson is next. There's a foul into the seats along third base there with everybody ducking. That was a line smack, one of those bing, bing things. Now the count on manager Bill is strike two. Last half of the fourth inning, one out, nobody out. Red Ruffing of the New York Yankees, the right-hander pitching. Has a long smash upstairs in left field, but it's foul. And the count remains strike two. Charlie Ruffing, you know, is a big, husky fellow. Weighs around 200 pounds, 6 feet, one. Last half of the fourth inning, one out, nobody on. Here's the pitch. The line drive into the outfield, a base knock. It's a single for Bill Terry. Just got the change here in the outfield. Al Simmons has moved over to left field, and Earl Averill is playing center field and Babe Ruth in right field. Babe Ruth is in right, Earl Averill in center, and Al Simmons in left. Travis Jackson is up with Bill Terry on first and one man out. The count is ball one on Jackson. Strike swinging. Ball one and strike one. Travis Jackson, right-hand hitter, is up. Ball one and strike one. Ruffing crosses over to Derrick, but Terry is alert, and he gets back. Last off of the fourth inning, one out. And the count on Jackson, one and one. Ball two. Ruffing shoots in the curve ball, but it's low inside, and the count is ball two and strike one. Gabby Hartnett hanging around home plate. The pitch hits a foul up and back, and the count is ball two and strike two. Start the fourth inning, the National Leaguers 4, American Leaguers 2. One man out, and we have Bill Terry on first. Travis Jackson is up. Red Ruffing pitching. Count of two and two, and there you have it. Ruffing takes a long wind up this time, and here it is. Foul! Ruffing stands over. Now it's 2-2. Umpire talks about a new ball. Ruffing takes a bunch of time as he stands there facing center field. Rubbing the old ball up plenty. Now he's back in the box, and we're ready to go. Last half of the fourth, one out. Terriers on first. 2-2 on the hitter, Jackson. It is. Foul up and back. Now remains 2-2. All two hands strike this. Those who just tuned in, let us remind you again that every seat in the polo grounds this afternoon is occupied. Very close to 60,000 fans are out here for this important all-star game. Now we're ready to go. One man out, Terry on first. Count on Jackson, it's 2-2. Here it is. It's a ball. Plenty high, and now it's 3-2. With one man out, Terry on first. You can see now he's apt to break to second base. Don't always do that, of course, with one out. And we have 3-2 on Jackson. And he goes down, he swings. It's a very high fly. Short, left center field. Averill coming in fast. Averill is under it. He has it. Came a long way for that one. Now we have two men out. Bill Terry was off with roughing motion that time. All the way down to second base and had to scurry back to first. Now we have Gabby Hartnett coming up. Two men out. Red Ruffing of the New York Yankees. The right-hander is in the box. Having replaced Lefty Gomez. Here it is. Strike swinging. Last half of the fourth inning, the score. National League is 4. The American League is 2. Two men out. Bill Terry on first. Here it is. Strike 2 swinging. Red Ruffing has plenty of speed this afternoon. The two strikes to Gabby Hartnett were burning fast balls about letter high. Hartnett swinging very hard at both of them. Here it is. He waits one. And the count is 2-1. Strike 2 and ball 1. Duffy looks over to first base, then takes a long stretch. Here it is. He waits another one. It's too high. And the count on Gabby Hartnett is 2-2. Noble National Broadcasting Company is bringing you this game from the polo ground in New York. Now the 2-2, a ground ball down third base way. Buck has it to throw. Beautiful throw, letter high to Kerrigan. Gabby Hartnett is out. That's all for the National Leaguers in the fourth inning. And the score, National Leaguers 4, American Leaguers 2. As we get ready to go into the first half of the fifth inning. Come in for it.
And in this most colorful of all baseball games, these colorful players spanning every spot on the diamond and every name in the batting order, sparkling with the ability which they've shown and demonstrated and charted up in the record book. Ruffing came in to pitch for the American League as the National Leaguers came up in the fourth, and Ruffing had Berger to face first. Berger fouled very high, and Fox, just back of third, measured it, having to ward the sun out of his eyes with the big miss as it came down. He almost misjudged it, had to leap back about a foot as it came down into his glove, and there was one out. Terry up, and Terry got a ringing single in left field, went down to first. Jackson came up, had a lot of fouls, and then banged one out to center field where Earl Averill took care of that. Then Hart hit it back, two out, one on. He banged one hard down to third where Fox took it, shot it across to Gehrig, retiring the National League in the fourth. And the score is 4 for the National Leaguers and 2 for the American League. And the National Broadcasting Company is bringing this to you from the polo ground. As we go into the fifth inning, here's Tom Manning to give you the play-by-play description.
Lon Warnick, you know, the Chicago Cubs is the pitcher. Babe Ruth is up. The first pitch to the Babe. It's a strike. The Babe pulled away from home plate, and now he's talking to the umpire. But regardless, it's a strike. Babe Ruth struck out the first time up and walked in the third inning. Strike one on the Babe. The pitch. Strike two, ball. Again, Babe Ruth pulls away from the plate, and the count is 2-0. Dave is leaning on his bat now about 8 or 10 feet away from home plate. And is talking with the umpire. And the count is 2-0, you know. The Babe is the first man up in the fifth inning. Lou Gehrig, Columbia Lou, coming up next. 2-0 on the Babe, the pitch. Fair inside. Count on Babe Ruth now is strike two and ball one. The umpire has waited for a moment while he gets off into the whisk room and pushes off home plate.
Ball two, a fastball is high inside. Again, Babe Ruth ducks away from home plate, and the count is 2-2. Ball two is strike two on the base. First man up for the American League is in the fifth inning. Ball three. That is a fastball over the plate that's just a little bit low. Gabby Hartnett thought perhaps nothing was over, but the count is 3-2. Al Shack has walked in there now holding up his hand, declaring time for a moment, yelling for time. Well, he's asked the umpire to take a look at that ball. The ball was all right, so Al Shack is getting the response here. When he can take it, he's tipping his hat to the fans. 3-2 is the count on Babe Ruth. First man up for the American League in the fifth inning. Here's the windup. 3-2 to pitch. Hit the ball. It's too low and Babe Ruth fast. To the count, 3-2. Babe Ruth on the ball outside. And he's now 30 on first base. And Larrabee, Lou Gehrig of Columbia is next up. Rising followed by Jimmy Fox.
And the count on Lou Gehrig is 3-2. Jimmy Fox, you know, is coming up next. Thurman tosses out a new ball. Hartnett puts it down to Pye Trainer. Pye takes his glove off, gives it a bit of a massage, and then tosses it over to Lon Warnicki. Warnicki is a right-hand pitcher. The count is 3-2 on Lou Gehrig with Babe Ruth on first. The result of a base on balls. Nobody else. Here it is. It's too low, and Gehrig walks. With a count 3-2, Warnicki sent a fast ball down the alley, but it was low, and now we have Gehrig on first, Babe Ruth on second, and manager Bill Terry, Pye Trainer, Mikey Fish, Jackson, and Hartnett all walking out to the pitcher's box for a conference with Ron Warnke. Warnke, I please, is going out of the box. Yes, Ron Warnke is walking slowly, nonchalantly over toward the National League's dugout, which is located along the first baseline. Jesse Jean is running down to the center field of the bullpen to warm up. So we'll probably have Al Mungo.
That's coming in.
That's not official as yet.
Still a bit of a conference down there, so for the benefit of our many friends who've just tuned in, let us run over some of the highlights of the play. You know, it's a long way down there to the bullpen in center field here at the Polo Grounds in New York City. To be exact, it's 455 feet. In the very first inning, Charlie Gehringer, first up, passed single, passed Franklin Bridge, took second on the center field is Fumble. Then Heinemann is left. Nathan struck out. Gary gets back. When Gary got a count of 3-2, Gehringer and then was the double steal when Gary struck out. Heinemann is on second. The first bad act was right over then for the National League because Jimmy Fox, the great right hand hitter, was coming in. And now settles down and with the encouraging remark of his buddies on the infield. The air ran in there, trapped him on the back, told him that he could feel the strike out stop. When you strike out, Bruce, Gehrig, and Pop, the run around the track is really touching baseball. This is the National League's half of the first break. Stepped in there, and got one of them up there,
slapped the ball high into the upper deck over the 395-foot sign in right field. That's quite a crowd here at the Polo Ground. Score being one of nothing. Finally, in the Master League's half of the third inning, they shoved three runs across the plate. Joey Medley coming up with two on, slapped one into the upper deck of the left field forbidden for a homer, putting the Master League's out in front, 4-0. But the American League's came back and scored two runs in the fourth inning. Dusty Gomez started for the American League's, and he pitched 3-0. He was replaced by Charlie Ruffing, also of the New York Yankees. The great Carl Hubbell, great indeed he is. After watching him in the first game of that World Series last fall, and watching him again this afternoon, striking out those boys, he struck out the six men in three innings. That's a lot of strikeouts with players like this in the game. He certainly is a great pitcher. Make no mistake about it. Ron Warnke came on. The American League has scored two runs in the fourth inning. And now, as we're in the fifth inning with runners on first and second, nobody out, two runs behind, Ruth is on second, Gehrig is on first, and Jimmy Fox, the right-hand hitter, is coming up. Dan Mungo, M-U-N-G-O, Mungo is the new National League's pitcher. He's a right-hander. Fox hits the first ball, pitch a long drive in the right center field. It's a base hit. Babe Ruth is rounding third base. Here's the throw. Gary Brown's second, he's coming to third. Gary Brown's through the throw, but Gary goes back to third base. Babe Ruth crosses the plate, and Fox drops that first. A single for Jimmy Fox, and the long single it was to right center field. The score, the National League is 4, the American League is 3. Now we have Fox on first base, Gary on third base. Al Simmons is coming up. That was a low, line smash deep into right center field. Nice fielding out there by Wally Berger, too. Now we have Al Simmons, another right-hand batter coming up. Mungo, you know, is the National League's pitcher. Here it is. Ball one, a fastball is too low. Well, it's a ball game again now. For a while there, it looked awful bad for the American League's with a score 4-0. Two runs last inning, they have one miss. With runners on first and third, and nobody else. Al Simmons is up. Ball one. A ground ball down to deep short. Jackson comes up with it. His throw to second is a bit high. Before Frankie puts off the bag, Gary crosses the plate, and the score is 5-4. The official ruling, I do not believe, will be an error. It is scored as a hit. Correct. That was a ground ball between Traynor and Jackson. Jackson went into deep short, far to his right, and bagged the ball. And while that followed, he threw to second base, and Frankie Prince had to leap into the air to steer the throw. But we believe that Jimmy Fox would have beaten the throw, and so it is
scored as a base hit for Al Simmons. The score is 4-4, you know, and manager Joe Cronin, a right-hand batter, is coming up. Runners on first and second, nobody else. Cronin attempts to bunt. It's a pop fire. That's a good catch, and what a catch he makes. A beautiful catch. Joe Cronin attempts to sacrifice, and he pops the fireball up, and Gabby Hartsett ripped off his mask and went back and stumbling, took the ball on the edge of his glove, had it finally rolled into the center, and Gabby staggered and staggered some more, but was able to hang on to it for the first out. The runners were unable to advance. So we have Al Simmons on first, Jimmy Fox on second, one man out, and catcher Bill Dickey of the New York Yankees coming up. What a ball game. What catches, what hits, what plays, what plays. Here it is, a ball outside. That was a burning fast ball that was outside. Dickey stepped right up there, ready to hit. 1-0 is the count. One man out in the fifth inning. The pitch hit too low inside. And the count on Bill Dickey is ball two. That familiar whistle of Al's Jack is ringing through the polo ground. Boy, how he can whistle when he's coaching there at third base. The count on Bill Dickey, ball two, the pitch. It's outside, ball three. Ball three is the count. Earl Averill coming up next. That means that the pitcher will hit in Heidi Manucci's spot, second. Strike call. Mungo aimed that one right down the alley, so high. And now the count on Bill Dickey, a left-hand batter. Ball three, strike one. Al Simmons is on first. Jimmy Fox on second. Fifth inning, one out. Strike call. Dan Mungo aimed that one right down through the heart of the platter, and it's 3-2. Three balls and two strikes. Runners on first and second. Will they go? Yes, they will. Let it go. It's a ball outside, and the bases are loaded. The American League attack this afternoon with one man out. This is the third occasion we have had a chance to observe it. With one man out, runners on first and second, and 3-2 on the batter. They are off with the pitcher's motion. That time, Fox and Simmons were off with a count 3-2. Now we have the sack loaded, and Earl Averill is coming up.
Earl Averill, who had that mighty triple to deep right center field when he went in as a substitute batter for Lefty Gomez. Earl Averill hit the left hand of the bases loaded, one out. Hit the ball, it was too low. That was over the plate. Averill started to step into it, but changed his mind, and it was declared a ball. Low. Pitch loaded. Dickey on first, Simmons on second, Fox on third, one out. Here's the pitch. It's a ball. Low outside, and the count on Averill is 2-0. Averill looks over to the bench now, get a signal from manager Joe Cronin as to whether or not to hit this triple when it comes down the alley. Not knowing the signals, of course, we can't relay it to you, but we'll see anyway. Ball two. Here it is. He swings. It's a slide inside the first base bag at the base hit. Fox has scored. Simmons has scored. Here comes Dickey, the third. It's a two-base hit for Averill. Fox and Simmons have scored. Bill Dickey is on third base. Averill is on second. That is scored as a double for Earl Averill, the great little center fielder of the Cleveland Indians. He stepped in there as a substitute batter in the fourth inning and smacked out a long triple. And coming up here now in the fifth inning with a bag loaded and with a count two and nothing, the old triple came down the alley and he met it right between the eyes and sailed it down the right field foul line for two bases, sending Fox and Simmons across the plate and putting the American League team out in front by the score of 6-4. Yes, indeed, it's a ball game. Now we have Bill Dickey on third base, Earl Averill on second, one man out. Dan Mungo is going to remain in the pitching box. Trainer, Perry, and Hartman were out there. Charlie Gehringer is up. The old baseball strategy. That meeting, from that meeting comes the strategy that Charlie Gehringer, a left-hand batter, shall be purposely passed.
count is ball two, ball three. The bases will again be loaded. Charlie Ruffing, who is also a great hitter, is going to bat for himself. Gehringer was purposely passed. Yes, Charlie Gehringer is doing right well. A single and two bases on balls out of four trips to the plate. Bases loaded. Red Ruffing is up. The first pitch, strike, swinging. Bill Dickey is on third. Earl Averill is on second. Charlie Gehringer is on first. One man out, 6-4 of the American Leaguers. It's a ball, a hook ball, missed the outside corner of the plate, and the count is ball one and strike one. Dan Mungo, right-hander of the National League, is in the box. The windup, the pitch. It's too high, outside, ball two. Ball two and strike one. First half of the fifth inning, 6-4 in favor of the American Leaguers. And the count on Charlie Ruffing, ball two and strike one. Ball three, a fastball is low inside. That one throws Charlie Ruffing out of the box. And the count is ball three and strike one. Babe Ruth is hanging around home plate. Ball three and strike one is the count. Here's the windup. The base is loaded. One out. He swings. He misses. 3-2 is the count. You know this game is coming to you from the Polo Grounds in New York City and being sent to you by the National Broadcasting Company. Fifth inning. Base is loaded. One out. 3-2 on the hitter. The pitch. It's a ground ball at the base hit in the left field. Dickey is third. Averill is rounding third. Frederick has retrieved the ball, whips it into second base. Gehringer stops at second. Bill Dickey and Earl Averill cross the plate, making the score 8-4 in favor of the American League. We have Ruffing on first base. Charlie Gehringer is on second and one man out. Bill Curry and Frankie Frisch have walked into the pitcher's box and are having a bit of a conference with Dan Mungo. That's 6 runs this inning for the American Leaguers. Babe Ruth is up there. One man out, you know. Runners on first and second. It's the first half of the fifth inning. 60,000 throats yelling themselves hoarse. Oh, he takes a mighty swing and misses. Right front. Big Babe wasn't kidding on that last strike, though, I want to tell you. Strike one is the count on the Babe, you know. Here it is. Ball. It was too high and outside. Ball one and strike one. Everything Lou Gehry hanging around home plate. Ball one. Strike one. The stretch. The pitch. The bounder down first. Gehry picks the ball up. Steps down first. For the put out. Unassisted. The runner's advancing. Babe Ruth is still wondering whether that was fair or not. That was a ball that was right on the line. Took our time on calling that one. Terry took that ball as it was bounding right over the sack and stepped on the bag for the put out of Babe Ruth unassisted. But Gehringer went to third and Ruffing went to second. Now we have Jerry coming up with 2 men out. Right down the old alley for a called strike. Not going to put Gehry down there at all. That was Fox coming up next. He swings and misses. Strike two. Strike two is the count. 2 men out. Runners on first and second. There it is. Strike three. Swinging. That was a low curveball down around the knees that Gehry took a mighty cut at and missed. Come in, fourth bomb.
Here's a fast review of that hot fifth inning, and what a hot fifth inning it was. Ruth up at bat to face Warnke, and he walks. Here he comes up, and he walks. Mungo is set in to replace Warnke. Fox comes up to bat, Mike one to right for a single scoring Ruth. Here he's going to third. Simmons comes up to bat, two on, nobody out. It's a short Jackson throws to second, scoring the tying run. Here he's coming in, Fox going to second. Jackson did a great job at even stopping that ball and trying to toss it off balance. It was scored as a hit for Simmons. Cohen came up and fouled out to Hartman. Dickey at bat, walked filling the bags, and Averill came up, doubled to right field, scoring Simmons and Fox. Then Gehringer came to bat, walked floating the bases. Ruffing came up, and Max won a Hartman to left field, scoring Averill and Dickey. Ruth at bat, 2-1 and 1 out. He smacked one right down the first baseline to Bilzeri. Bilzeri took it just about 2 feet off the bag, back of the bag, and stepped on it to save out Ferry unassisted. Then Gehrig came up to bat and took three terrific swings at the ball and failed to connect with what Mungo had on it, retiring the side. 6 runs, 4 hits, and no errors, making the score of the American League 8 and the National League 4. That's the score of the American League leading by 4 runs. As we go into the National League half, the fifth inning, National Broadcasting Company bringing to you this play-by-play account from the Polo Grounds in New York of this great all-star game between the stars of the American League and the stars of the National League for the old ball players who need their help. Now that these stars can give it to them while they're in there, play great baseball out here before some 60,000 fans who really love to come out and see their favorites perform. We said once before, it's a manager's dream, these ball clubs, and a pitcher's nightmare. It proves to be when one after the other, they came up there, and you're afraid to walk this one because then look what you've got coming. Why, even when they walk to get the Ruffing, back out there has maxed out that ball into left field for a single. He's no mean hitter. Well, now we're going to see half the sixth inning with the batting order coming up in this manner. We have Pepper Martin coming in to that. I believe he's going to be first. He's walked up there standing back of the line while they're warming up here in the box. The American League pitcher is taking place out there. Yes, sir, I believe there's a change in pitchers at this time. Or is it still the big red down there? It's still Red Ruffing down there in the box, pitching to Bill Dickey. Bill Dickey, who's been doing yeoman service in this baseball game. He's down there now, ticking, roughing. That's Martin. He's great. Hero of the 1931 World Series is down there swinging his bat to get himself in shape to face the pitching of the Big Red, which isn't any easy thing to do. The old argument about whether the hitters will win the game or whether the pitchers will win the game has been turned inside out and then back again here this afternoon. In the first three innings, when Hubble had it on the American League batters, and then here in the fourth and fifth, when Warnke and Mungo have been slapped pretty freely for 6 runs. 6 runs in the fourth, 8 runs in the fourth and fifth, 2 in the fourth, and 6 in the fifth. 2 in the fourth and 6 in the fifth. That was the number that came in. Some sort of a conference going on down here for a moment. The umpires have walked off the field, and the boys in blue, 2 of them have come back on. I believe Rick Owen and George Moriarty have walked back in, the American League umpires, where Charlie Furman and Dolly Stark, the National League umpires, are for the moment. We couldn't tell you because they disappeared from the diamond. And now, Pepper Martin has picked up 2 bats. He evidently thought he was going to get the step up there a moment ago, and he had dropped one of them, but he has 2 of them now, swinging them high and mighty, just like you do the knife. He's letting it swing back over his shoulder, come down, tap his leg, and then back again. Down here for the moment, in front of the plate, is McChesney, one of the coaches this afternoon. What a coaching staff we have, and what a number of managers we have in this National League team of all-stars who are out here on the diamond. Bill McChesney is standing there talking to George Moriarty for the moment, while Ruffing has gone back to tossing him to Bill Dickey. For the moment, he had stopped. The players themselves are wondering what the conference is about, and it hasn't been discovered just yet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have here a gentleman whose voice we're sure you all know, one who became famous a number of years ago when he pulled a line which sounded like the trap shooter's huddle. Come down here, Bill Mundy. I want you to say a word. Here's Bill Mundy, the gentleman from Georgia. Speak up, Bill.
Thank you, Bud. Good afternoon, folks of the Loud Creek Ensemble. Top of the morning to those of you out in California. We're probably having this broadcast with your breakfast coffee. Quite a show these boys putting on up here in the Polo Grounds today. Think of it. Just about $3 million worth of baseball flesh and dress parade. The Alpha and Omega of diamond perfection assembled to do mortal combat for a most worthy cause. The sheriff is about 50,000 people here, while the country boy like myself, it looks like about 10 million. By the way, for a long time, I've wondered just where this boy Tom Manning derived the effervescent self and sportsman enthusiasm for his vibrant and vivid baseball broadcast.
No long in the dark, however. I met him yesterday. I found out his secret. He's red-headed, sorrel top. In fact, the most red-headed human being I ever saw. Picture yourself the most red-headed man, woman, or child you ever beheld. Multiply the shade of his or her hair by 25, and you have a vague idea of just how red-headed Tom Manning is. I'm on my vacation up here, and so I'll leave you now. You go to work, Tom.
Say, Bill, how's the old pal Bobby Jones out there?
Still a midget, the best in the world, the only one, you know, made a clean sweep. Two over in Great Britain, two over here. He's an Atlanta boy, and Atlanta to South makes you proud of his company.
Thanks a lot, Bill Monty. We certainly all enjoyed your broadcast of football games. Regards to all the folks down in Atlanta. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are sending you the All-Star Game. First, we might tell you that we're being delayed here for a few moments. The umpires have changed now. The game is just half over, 4.5 innings with the score. The American League is 8, the National League is 4. There's one change in the American League lineup now. And Benny Chapman, reputed to be one of the fastest runners in the Major League, replaces Babe Ruth in right field for the American League. Kind of ready to go now. Tupper Martin is heading for Bundle. Fred Repping is still in the box, sticking behind the bat. Infield is the same. Fox at third, Colin short, Gehringer second, and Gehrig at first. Tupper Martin, the right-hand hitter, is up. The star of the 1931 series. You shall never forget Tupper Martin. What he did in that series will live forever and ever. And the count is 4-2. It's the last half of the fifth inning. The score, the American League is 8, National League is 4. Tupper Martin is batting for Dan Hunter. Vic Owen is behind the bat. Vic Owen behind the bat. Moriarty is at second. Sherman is at third. And Stark is at first. Ball two and strike one. The next is high inside. And it's ball three. Three and one. Mikey Fish is hanging around home for that. Ball four. And a little pepper bat left. Pepper bat is gone first base. That series of 1931, every time that Pepper Martin got on, everybody started to shiver, and they were interested in only one thing. Will he steal on the first ball, put the weight for the second? Rocky Fish. Rocky is turned around now and batting him left-hander. Anybody that can point one on that upper deck of the Polar Ground stands right-handed. Maybe they better stay right-handed.
Fish is a cold strike. Last ball.
Better high.
Strike one is the count on Fritz. Ball. It's outside. Ball one and the strike one. Last half of the fifth inning. The National League is just 4 runs behind. The score being 8-4. Upper Martin gets the boys off on the right foot with a base on ball. Got a big lead down there at first.
A fast ball just above the knee. Charlie Ruffing is in the box. Red Ruffing. Big red-headed pitcher. We redheads would stick together. Strike two and ball one. There's a line. Fast to the base hit to left center field. Hawks is rounding second, coming to third. Simmons has the ball. He turns it to second base and is taken there by Gehringer. And Fish drops at first. Martin drops at third. Second hit of the afternoon for Frankie Fritz. High trainer, manager, and third baseman of the Pittsburgh Pirates, the right hand sticker is coming up next. You should know that this high trainer is a great fellow.
Everybody around here today speaks very well of my friend and the manager, Pittsburgh. He's up there now, ready to go. Hit the ball. Low, inside. That roughing takes a lot of time between the pitches, but he works slow and easy. Here it is. Hits a strike. Ball. Ball one and strike one. Pepper Martin is on third base. Frankie Frisch is on first. The Cardinals are on the base. Ball one and strike one. The pitch has a ball up and back, strike two. Strike two and ball one. The American Leaguers battery at the moment is roughing in the box and Dickey behind the bat. The infielder, Sherrick, Gallagher, Cronin, and Jimmy Fox is playing third. Strike two, ball one on the hitter, Trainer. The pitch, it's a foul up and back. The count remains strike two and ball one. Last half of the fifth inning. Nobody else. Runners on first and second. And Bye Trainer is up there following them off with a count strike two and ball one.
Joey Medrick is up there next. Here it is. The high foul up back in the stand.
Ball one.
Charlie Ruffing is roughing the new ball. That's not a punt. Every time the umpire crosses one out, the boys use it just like a towel. Wiping the perspiration all over. All right, ready to go. Strike two and ball one. Mike Trainer up. It's a foul ball. Had his hand on the ball and dropped it and kicked it out into right field. Martin crossed the plate. Martin Charlie Gallagher was on that ball, pounding it all the way, picked it up, and held Frankie Frisch at second. That, of course, did score it as a base hit. That was a peak of a try by Charlie Gallagher. The ball was a grounder between first and second of the pass carry. That Charlie Gallagher went over and had his glove hand on the ball. Fumbled it for a moment, and then Charlie was running at top speed. He kicked the ball about 10 yards out for it, the right field foul line, but he was right on it and held Frankie Frisch at second. Well, that's a run for the National Leaguers, and the score is 8-5. Left-handed. Strike. Ball. Runners on first and second. Nobody else. Strike two. Swinging. Chuck Klein, you know, is the powerful hitter of the Chicago Cubs. There's strike two on him. One called and then a long swing. Red Ruffing is pitching and here it is. He swings. Throws the ball to Fox at third, holding by Trainer at second. Frankie Frisch crosses the plate, and the score is 8-6. 8-6, and that's all for Mr. Charlie Ruffing. With a count 2-0, Chuck Klein got one in there, fell high, and hit a scorching line drive into right field. Coming in, this is not official as yet, but Mel Ott coming up to the plate, swinging two bats. If he bats, he will bat for Ty Tyler. Mel Harder, the Cleveland Indians, is handling in from deep left center field. The American Leaguers are warming up this afternoon in deep left center field, and the National Leaguers bullpen is in deep right center field. They're both the same distance apart, except that the American Leaguers, who are the visiting club today, incidentally,
get plenty of good sunshine out there in center field, while it's a bit shadier over in right field. Now, the Harbor of the Cleveland Indians have all got away to a rather slow start this year, pitching good baseball, allowing only a few hits per game, but was unable to win. But the last six times out, he's got a world beater. Mel Harvey, you know, is just a kid, right-hand pitcher. Joe Coleman greets him as he nears shortstop. That's a long walk from out there. Let's see, the sign is 455 feet away. 455 feet out to the right center field bullpen where Hart has been warming up. Rise in the box and has started to warm up with catcher Bill Dickey. It's the last half of the fifth inning. This game has developed into a free-hitting affair after Carl Hubbell left the game. Carl Hubbell, there's no free hit when Hubbell was in the box. This is the third American League pitch of the afternoon. Started out with Gomez, and then we had Ruffing, and now in this the fifth inning, we had Mel Harder replacing Charlie Ruffing. Well, the National League batter saw perhaps be one of the greatest curveballs in the Major League. Mel Harder, you know, is reputed to have one of the finest returns in the majors today. Has a fairly good fastball along with him. Game over Washington last year with a long home run is going in the back for Packeye Carlin. Mel Archer don't hit the left-handed. Hits the first ball, hits the high side of left field. Simmons is coming over fast, coming over. It's a foul. That ball was fouled by about 1 foot. With everybody running, Simmons going over. It was outside. Simmons missed it by about 1 yard, and it was outside the foul line by about 1 foot.
Yes. That had the fans all standing up for a moment. Now, swung at the first ball pitch. Looked like an inside ball that he stepped back on. It's the fifth inning. The score 8-6 in favor of the American League. There's nobody else. The tying runs are on first and second. Strike one on Bellot. Here it is. Hit too low. Ball. That was a hook ball. It was low inside. Right there, Mel's feet. And the count is ball one and strike one. This is certainly developing into a long baseball game. Ball one and strike one is the count on the hitter. Mellot, there it is. It's a ball to down first base play, but it's foul. And it's strike two. First base coach says that ball is no good. It's all mixed up to the umpire. Strick on and tossed out a new one. Bill Cronin, the old pepper box, runs all the way up from short, picks the ball up and hands it to Mel Harder. Utters a word or so of encouragement and then runs back to his shortstop position. Out of Mellot, it's strike two and ball one. Runners on first and second, you know. Trainer on second. And Pryor is on first. Mellot is up, strike two and ball one. The pitch hits outside, ball two. Ball two and strike two. Two and two, last half of the fifth inning. 8-6 in favor of the American Leaguers. Nobody out, runners on first and second. Ball two and strike two, and here it is. Scored as a base hit for an error.
fell out of safe at first on a fielder's choice. Five trainers went to third base. Now we have runners on first and third. One man out. Paul Wehner. Paul Wehner is going to bat for Wally Berger. Paul Wehner of the Pittsburgh Pirates is batting for Wally Berger.
Paul Wehner, you know, hits him left-handed. The Master Leaguers in the last half of the fifth inning with two men out. The one man out, two men on.
Paul Wehner, little left-hand batter. Ball one. Carter's curveball was low inside. Picture, you know, last half of the fifth inning, one out, runners on first and second. Wehner up. Strike call. That was a burning fastball. Belt high, right down the alley. Ball one, strike one. Mellott is on first. Five Wehner is on third. One man out. And the count is one and one on the hitter. It is. It's too low outside. Ball two. Ball two and strike one. Paul Wehner standing up there, knocks the dirt off his shoes, swinging that bat up and down with plenty of determination. Ball two, strike one on the pitch. Ball three, a fastball, letter high, but it was inside. Ball three and strike one. Manager Bill Terry is hanging around home plate. We've had three substitute hitters this inning. Fine, Hot, and now we have Wehner. Pretty fair trio of pinch hitters. Ball three, strike one. Here it is. High ball coming right up here. There's a baseball for your birthday, Graham. Now today, Graham McNamee is here celebrating his birthday. Couldn't celebrate it a better way, coming out to a slow ball game like this. Now three and two on the hitter. Paul Wehner is up there with runners on first and third. The count is three and two. Three and two. Here it is. He swings and misses the ball to second base. Phil Dickey hits the ball down to second base, right off the ceiling. The Hawks slides around Charlie Carrier and his safe, and Pike Wehner scores. With a count three and two, here's that picture now. With a count three and two, Pike Wehner was on third base. Sherlock was on first. One man up. And with hard inflation, Sherlock set sail for second base. Phil Dickey whipped the ball down to second after Wehner had swung and missed, taking two outs. And Sherlock, well, the throw had him beat. He stood around Charlie Gehring in a second and was declared safe by umpire George Moriarty. While this was going on, Pike Wehner scored and it's 8-7 now in favor of the American League. Tying runners on second base with two outs, and manager Bill, sorry, Memphis Bill, is up there at the plate.
That, of course, will be scored as a double steal. Terry is up. Ball one. Carter's curveball was outside. Travis Jackson is to be the next batter. Last half of the fifth inning. The score 8-7. Ball two. Bill Terry hitting. That last one was runner high but outside. And the count is 2-0. Two and nothing, and Mellott is on second base. It is ball three. Oh, and was brother Bill Terry ready to hit that one with the count 2-0? Carter's trying to keep the ball low outside for Memphis Bill, and now it's 3-0. 3-0, here it is. Strike ball. Bill Terry went through some motions down there, pointing his bat directly toward Harder, but Harder slipped that fast one right across, belt high.
Ball three and strike one. 3-1, and here it is. Go ahead, he says, ball four. Bill Terry walks, Mellott is on second. Travis Jackson was up there ready to hit, but he has walked back toward the Yankee, for the National Leaguers dugout. We're going to have a substitute batter for him. I believe that Hockey Ford of Pittsburgh is going to bat for him. That's not official as yet. That's who's coming up there with two bats, however. Bill McKinley, manager of the Braves, is running there to home plate and is having a bit of a conference with Hockey Vaughn. That's correct. Now it's official. Vaughn batting for Jackson. Vaughn hits him left-handed. Mel Harder, a right-hander, is in the box. Here's the pitch. Strike. Ball. Again, quickly, last half of the fifth inning. 8-7 in favor of the American League. Two men out. Mellott is on second. Bill Terry is on first. And Archie Bourne, Pittsburgh Pirates shortstop, batting for Travis Jackson. He hit them left-handed. The pitch. Ball. A hook ball missed the outside corner, and the count is ball one and strike one.
Archie has a count of ball one and strike one. Gabby Hartnett coming up next. Here's the pitch. Ball two. That was over the high of the plate, but too low. Now the count on Vaughn. Ball two and strike one. Somebody just remarked it's a good thing they started early. They've been playing just 2 hours right now. Ball two and strike one. Vaughn is the hitter. Runners on first and second. It is. The foul ball down short. Vaughn comes up with a crossing. Gallagher forcing Corey at second, and that requires an Austin Leaguers for the fifth inning. The score is 8-7 in favor of the American Leaguers. We're going to have plenty of changes as we start the sixth inning. Come in, Paul Bond.
And here's that National League fifth in which they came up three runs to trail now by one run, 8-7 in favor of the American League. Martin came up and walked. Frisch came to bat, knocked out a single to left center, and Martin wheeled his way around the third. Then Trainer came up, two on and nobody out, smacked a single off Gehringer's glove down a second, scoring Martin and sending Frisch down 2 seconds. Klein up to bat for Medwick, two on and nobody out, and he smacked the Harbin to right field, scoring Frisch. Then Ott appeared up the plate to bat in place of Kai Tyler. Starting off by the second man of the 372 batter that came up in this inning, the four rather, and Mel Harder was immediately signaled for from the bullpen and came in and replaced Ruffing. After three men had come in and banged a hit off Ruffing, Ruffing retired then from the game. His record wasn't bad for the innings he had pitched. Third, fourth, he was the fourth and half the fifth. He had had two runs scored on him, three hits, and had given one walk. These three hits, all the rule right of way was pulled, and Mel Harder, the great curveball artist of Cleveland, came in to replace him for the American League. Mellott was the first man to face him, two on and nobody out. He snatched a liner out to Chapman. Ben Chapman, who was played to replace Babe Ruth in right field, who dropped it and threw to second after getting it, forcing Klein up. Scored as a fielder's choice. Paul Wehner came up to bat for Berger. Struck out, and on the third strike, Klainer scored on a double steal. Mellott saved at second, although it had been pegged down there by Bill Dickey down to Gehring. Terry came up and walked, one on and two out. Barbon came up with two on, and the bat for Jackson smacked one down to short, forcing Terry out at second, short 2 seconds. That is thrown in to Gehring. So we go into the sixth inning with the National League trailing the American League by one run. The score is American League 8, National League 7. We go into this sixth inning of this red-hot ball game of the All-Stars, brought to you by the National Broadcasting Company from Polo Ground, with Tom Manning giving you the play-by-play. Come in, Tom.
Here's the changes before we start. In the National League's lineup, Mellott replaces Tyler in right. Paul Wehner replaces Berger in center. Klein replaces Sedwick in left. Vaughn replaces Jackson at short. And Dizzy Dean, the St. Louis Cardinals, is in the box. And Lopez is the catcher for the National League.
Jimmy Fox is up to start the sixth inning, 8-7, you know, in favor of the American League. And the count on Jimmy Fox is ball one, and this last one was a called strike. Ball one and a strike one. Fox is up, and Harold Simmons is hanging him out. Ball one and strike one, first man up in the sixth inning. Ball two. Izzy Dean shoving up a change of pace offering. That was just too low. Two and one. Here it is. Strike. Ball. Two and two. Ball two and strike two. Boy, Dizzy Dean has been pitching a lot of baseball this year for the St. Louis Cardinals. Brother is pitching a great game, too. Strike three. Swinging. With a count two and two, Dean steps on the gas. Jumped over a burning fastball and Fox swung and missed. One man out in the first half of the sixth inning. Al Simmons was playing left field at present is up. Al Simmons, you know, bats him right-handed. Hits the first ball, Fritz, a very high fly to short right center field with Fritz hot, everybody on it. Fritz dashed out in the short right center field and waved Wiener and Hart away. He had both hands on the ball, but it got away. And Al Simmons raced to second base. It is scored as a two-base hit. That scored as a two-base hit for Al Simmons. In the sixth inning, nobody out. Manager Joe Cronin is up. Joe, you know, bats him right-handed. That was a very high fly ball. Must be said that Frankie Fritz is looking right up into the sun. Very possible that one of the outfielders, either Art or Paul Wehner, could have made the catch. But Fritz elected to try for it, and the last moment he had to dive for it, and the official scorers were of the opinion that it should be scored as a two-base hit. For a moment, while umpire George Moriarty waves New York's finest out of that runway out in center field. Police are out there keeping the crowd in order, and George is of the opinion that they're in the way. Cronin hits the first ball, hits a line drive, over to Wehner's head into left field. The ball rolls out to the left field corner. Simmons grounds third and scores the goal. It's sufficient second base. Cronin slides the ball alive. Cronin is safe, a two-base hit. 9-7 in favor of the American Leaguers. That was a beautiful hit by Joe Cronin. A line drive about 7 or 8 feet over Pike Rainer's head. Ball rolled out against the billboard in the left field corner. Bill Zickey is up. Strike call. Nobody out. Joe Cronin is perched on second base. Directed one man out is right. One man out, and Cronin is on second base. Bill Zickey is up, and the count is strike one. Jimmy Fox is strike one. Strike ball. Two and nothing. First half of the sixth inning, 9-7 in favor of the American League team. Joe Cronin is on second, one out, and Bill Dickey, the batter, has a count of two strikes. Averill hanging around home plate. Ball one, high outside. Strike two, ball one. Dizzy Dean of the St. Louis Cardinals of the National League is in the box. A ball high outside on the count on catcher Bill Dickey is two and two. Ball two and strike two. First half of the sixth inning, 9-7 in favor of the American League. Here's the pitch. Ball three. That was sort of a dizzy curveball. It was in there too low. Bill Dickey getting his feet out of the way of it. And now the count is 3-2. Joe Cronin is on second base. Earl Averill, left-hand hitter, is next up. 3-2, the pitch. A foul back. That ball hit Lopez on the cliff. He's rubbing it around for a moment. This has been a rather large afternoon for about 60,000 baseball fans at the Polo Grounds here in New York this afternoon. They've watched a lot of baseball. 3-2 on the hitter. Another foul back. One of the highlights of this afternoon's game to arrive here early and watch the batting practice. You know, there's this great array of hitters out here in both leagues, finest hitters in the country, pitchers shooting them down the alley. They were smacking them to all parts of this polo ground. Ready to go again. One out, Sherman on second, 3-2 on Bill Dickey, the pitcher. Ball four, and Dickey walks. Earl Averill coming up. Averill, the center field with the Cleveland Indians, came in as a substitute batter for Gomez and Sipple to deep field. He had been placed exploded and back to the double to the right field corner. Time has been called for a moment. Al Jack is running out towards second base. Let's see. He's going to have a substitute runner, I believe. Yes. I believe Mickey Cochran is going to run for Bill Dickey. Mickey Cochran replaces Bill Dickey running at first base, and of course Mike will probably catch. Today he's doing a great job of managing the Detroit Tiger team, just a half game out of first place. Dick is one fine ball player and a slow chap. Ready to go. Averill is up there with Cochran on first, Cronin on second. First pitch to Averill is a ball. A burning fastball is inside. Here it is. Ball two. Slow sweeping curveball is outside. Come on, Earl Averill. Atomic slugger. Ball two. Now three. That ball slow inside, and now the count on Averill is 3-0. Charlie Gavin is coming up next. Strike called. Oh, it's rather funny out here this afternoon watching one of these managers ordering a lot of other managers around. Three managers today, Terry and Scott. 3-1 on Averill. High foul up and back, and the count is 3-2. Ball three and strike two. First half of the sixth inning, you know, 8-7. 9-7, rather. 9-7 in favor of the American League. Earl Averill has a full count of 3-2. Dizzy Dean, tall right-hander, is getting ready to pitch. Here it is. 3-2 is the count. A play at second base. Stolen slides. He's safe. Hockey Bowen dashed over and back and stolen at second that time. Just when Dean was ready to shoot the ball, plate work, and he turned and flipped it to second base. Now he's ready again. There's the stretch. 3-2 on Averill, the hitter. Still fooling around, looking out for second. Now Dean steps out of the box. Ball and Joe Crowell having a little game of hide and go seek down there at second base. Now finally he's ready. Here it is. 3-2. Strike three. He swings. And Crowell is passed off second base. Lopez is running down all the way to short. He has thrown up. And he crosses the ball to Vaughn. And Vaughn is out. With runners on first and second, Earl Averill had a count of 3-2. At the third strike. Joe Cronin started for third base, then turned around and started back to second. Lopez, the catcher, ran all the way down to the shortstop position and, in fact, made a tag for Cronin and missed him. Then Cronin dashed to second base and he tossed the ball over to Vaughn and Cronin was tagged out. Come in for it.
That was a funny double play and the whole crowd liked it. With Lopez running out almost a second, trying to touch the runner down the line, then tossing to second. And then the second, he caught that ball who took the throw there, throwing down to first, retiring the side after the strikeout. Yes, sir, that was the kind, that was one of those that you can put in the book. That is, it was the regular scheduled game. A very peculiar double play and one that gave the crowd a thrill. Dean opened the American League six, pitching for the Nationals, replacing Mungo at the start of the sixth. Fox was the first man to come up to face him here in the American League half of the sixth, in which they lead 9-7. Fox up, but Top went to 2-2, and Fox struck out. Simmons came up, flied to short center, Frisch backed out for it, dropped it, dove for it as it came down the sun, and it was scored by the official scorer as a two-base hit for Simmons. Cronin up to bat, doubled hard into left field, over third base, scoring Simmons. Dickey came up, one on and one out, now went to 3-2, and he walked, and Cochran went in to run for him. Averill came to bat, two on and one out, and then ensued that double play at the strike with, after he swung hard at the ball, with Lopez going down to second. It's been one of those plays where both men have moved off their tracks, started to run, and Averill swung hard. Lopez then, seeing the situation, ran out. The runners, Cochran and Cronin, wondering just what was happening. They both were in a position where they could hardly go back without the ball being thrown to the base, which they'd try to return, thinking they could brave it out, and that funny play which Tom Manning described to you in turning off this sixth inning. So here we go into the seventh with the Americans leading 9-7, and Tom Manning to give you the play-by-play. Here we go.
Well, that's one of the last half of the sixth for us. National League coming to bat, and it's 9-7. 9-7 in favor of the American Leaguers, and Lopez is the first hitter. Lopez, you know, hits him right-handed. Mel Harder is in the box for the American Leaguers, and Mickey Cochran is catching. Count ball one, and he swings and misses. Strike. Ball one and strike one. On Lopez. Lopez can always be played. Gabby Hartnett behind the bat for the National League. Score 9-7. He attempts to count. Jimmy Fox up by laying down a bunt, but the ball is fouled. Strike two. That looks like a pretty good idea there for a moment. Not for a long time since Jimmy Fox has played third base, at least regularly. Jimmy Fox came into the American League a long time ago as a catcher, then turned out to be a third tackle and finally a first base. They tell me he looks pretty good over there at first, too. Particularly so when he's up to bat with the batter's hand. Strike two, ball one on Lopez. Strike three. That was a beautiful hook ball coming over there about meter high, both way down around the knees, with Lopez swinging over the ball. Well, Mr. Dean is coming up now. Mr. Dean of the St. Louis Cardinals. Big tall fellow, you know, he bats them and throws them right-handed. Mel Harder of the Indians in the box. Mike Cochran of the Tigers behind the bat. Fouls the first one upstairs, strike. Last half of the sixth inning, the score 9-7 in favor of the American League. Busy Dean, the match, and the count, strike one. Ball one. Mickey Cochran digs the ball out of the dirt and whips it back to Mel Harder, 20 bats. Ball one and strike one. There's the pitch, one and one on the hitter. Strike two, ball. Sweet serve ball, it was so high. Strike two and ball one. The American Leaguers infield remains just as it started. That was a ball, not so good. 2-2. Last half of the sixth inning, one man out. Frankie Fish coming up next. 2-2. Holds the line, slash to the left field. Simmons coming in fast. Oh, he makes a beautiful running catch. Lehigh coming in there at top speed for that low line drive. And now we have two outs. Two outs and nobody on. Frank Fish coming up. Frankie has a home run, base on balls, and a single out of three trips to the plate. It was Frankie, you know, who smacked that ball up into the right field, upper deck for a home run. First up in the first inning. Ball one. Otto's fastball was just a little bit too high. Otto's pitching, Cochran catching. Two outs, last half of the sixth inning. Frankie Frisch is up. Ball one. This is ground ball down short. Cronin comes up with it. Passes to Jerry. Frisch is out. That's all for the National Leaguers in the sixth inning. And the score, the American Leaguers 9, the National Leaguers 7. This game is being sent to you by the National Broadcasting Company. Come in for a bounce.
Well, that's the end of the sixth, Tom. Yes, sir, Reed. And the snappy half of the sixth just now in two. When the National League was up at bat, led off by Lopez. Lopez, the catcher, and the crowd is all getting up for the old seventh inning stretch here at the Polo Grounds. The all-star game between the American and National League. Lopez led off. The count went to one ball and two strikes. And then he swung hard and went down swinging. One out. Dean then came up. Dizzy Dean, the Dizzy of the Dean brothers, as sometimes you read about him, came up and the count went to two and two. And then he smacked one into left field. Simmons coming in very fast, caught it right at his knees, making a beautiful running catch of Dean Fly out into left. That was two outs. Well, the National Leaguers in the sixth. Then Frankie Frisch, Gordon Flash, came up to bat. Frisch banged a hard one down to short. Gorin took it in deep short. Wheels got it down to first. To Lou Gehrig, retiring the National League in the sixth. And we go into the seventh. The seventh, that's right this time, with the American League leading 9-7. Here's Tom Manning to give you the play-by-play of the seventh inning.
Roy Herman replaces Frankie Frisch at second base for the National League. Willie Herman is playing second in place of Frisch. Dillinger is up. Ball one. Ball two. Dizzy Dean is still in the box for the National Leaguers with a Lopez behind the bat. That's not Vincent Lopez, I'm sure. Charlie Gellinger, 2-0. Strike ball. Dean had that one in there with 20 on it, too. Ball two and strike one. First half of the seventh inning, 9-7, the American League. Ball three. A lazy third ball is too high. 3-1. Here it is. Cut. Charlie takes a straight cut at that one. 3-2. Ball three and strike two on Charlie Gellinger. The line snagged up here in the stand, and the count remains 3-2.
As it's smashed out to right field, looks like a base knock. It is just inside the line. Gellinger's going to second. It's close. Here's the throw. It's 22. He's out. He is out at second base. Charlie Gellinger bangs one down into the right field corner. Was over there on the ball, picked it up, and the ball and Gellinger arriving almost at the same time. Gellinger sliding in. Hockey Bone took that ball and dropped it on Gellinger for a sweet close play. Umpire George Moriarty had his nose knocked 5 inches from that play when he declared Gellinger out. Well, that's another hit for Charlie. Two hits, two bases on ball. One out. Mel Harder is up. The American Leaguer's pitcher. Elliot all bats and throws right-handed. Mel Harder is up there, and the count is ball one and strike one. First half of the seventh inning. One man out, nobody on. Here it is. Strike two. He cuts and misses. Harder hurt his fingernail swinging that time, stepped out of the box and looked at it, but he's right back in there. Strike two, ball one. The pitch swung rather feebly at that one. He started to swing and then tried to hold the swing, and it was a foul ball. Strike two and ball one. That was dangerously close to being a bunt. Strike two and ball one, and here it is. Strike three. He swings and misses. First half of the seventh inning, two men out. Penny Chapman is coming up.
American League lineup at present, the pitcher is batting second. That occurred because Earl Averill, who hit for the pitcher, went into the ball game, and of course, he was hit.
Hits the first ball, hits the long back in the deep center field. It's going out against the center field fence. Chapman is rounding second. Here's the throw. Chapman's going to third. He stops at third base. That was a long smash out against the 455-foot line in left center field. Chuck Klein and Paul Wehner both dashing out there for it, but they were a mile away from it. Here's the binoculars. Ball kept right on going until it landed out against the scoreboard. That was quite a shot by Sir Benny Chapman. And how that baby can dash around the bag.
Two men out. And Lou Gehrig is up. They tell me this Gehrig is quite a ball player. Two men out. Chapman on third. Dizzy Dean, the right hander, is in the box. And Lou Gehrig is up. Strike one, called. Here's the windup. Ball. A burning fast ball is high on the outside on the count on Gehrig is ball one and strike two. Lou Gehrig has asked umpire Owen to examine the ball. He does. Lou Gehrig was right. Ball is tossed out of the game and now we have a new one. Count on Larrabee Lou is ball one and strike one. First half of the seventh inning, 9-7 in favor of the American League. 9-7. Two outs. Chapman is on third. Strike. Ball. Now the count on Lou Gehrig is strike two and ball one. So far, Dizzy Dean is looking at Gehrig saying, you're just a big, bad wolf and I ain't scared. It is 2-1. Strike three, ball. That was a fast ball right down the alley, too high, with plenty on it. That's all for the American League in the seventh inning. I want to mention to Brad Badoon that His Honor, Judge Landis is out here, as is Mrs. Landis, and many of the baseball owners throughout the American and National League. Charlie, up for the old seventh inning stretch again, and here's fourth on. Come in, Paul.
Yes, Tom, all the magic throughout and all the fans, the American League fans and the National League fans here in New York, out to root and doing plenty of rooting and getting plenty to root about in this All-Star game, which the National Broadcasting Company is bringing to you. First half of seventh inning with the American League just retiring now to let the National League come in for their half of it. They started off that time with Gehrig at bat and went to 3-2, and he smacked one up the right field side. The second was out the second up. To Vaughn. Off wing it down to Vaughn and a very close decision there. Gehrig was out. Harder then came up. The count went to 1-2 and he swung hard and two men were gone. Then Ben Chapman replaced Dave Ruth in right field. Ben Chapman came up to bat. Leaned on that old apple hard and smashed the leather way out to the bullpen in left field. 455 foot mark from the plate. Yes, sir, 455-foot mark out there for a three-bagger. He wheeled his way in the third and looked for a moment as if he wanted to try to tuck it into a homer. Gehrig came up and went out on called strike. So we go into the National League half of the seventh, the American League leading 9-7. Come in, Tom.
Mike Turner, third baseman of the Pittsburgh Pirates, his first up, a right-hand hitter with Bill Harder in the box for the American Leaguers and Mickey Cochran behind the bat. First pitch to my trainer is a called strike. Here we go. Swings at the foul, strike two. American League infield is Gehrig, Gehringer, Cronin, and Fox. The outfield at the moment, Simmons in left, Averill in center, and Chapman in left. The battery being Harder and Cochran. Strike two on the hitter, trainer. Ball one. Fastball is low outside. Cochran doesn't throw that ball down towards third. Probably thought he had a corner, but the count is 2-1.
strike two and ball one. Here it is. A tip foul gets away from Cochran and the count remains. Strike two and ball one. High trainer, first man up with the National League in the last half of the seventh inning. Here it is. As a high fly toward right field, it's foul. And the count remains 2-1. That was a long smash that hit the barrier in front of the scoreboard in right field. Mike Trainer has a count of strike two and ball one, leading off for the National League in the last half of the seventh inning. The American League 9, the National League 7. The pitch, a ground ball down shortstop way. Deep short, Cohn has it, tenth. He's out. A beautiful long throw from deep short by Joey Coleman. Gary stretching full length to snag that ball, and Trainer was out by a step. A pretty play by Joe Coleman. That was perhaps the outstanding infield play of the afternoon. Up to now, we'd say the outstanding outfield play was that catch of tight by Carly early in the game. Chuck Bryan is up there. Chuck, you know, hits him from the port side. He swings and misses. A skip foul with Cochran held. That was a very pretty picture to gaze upon. Chuck Bryan, you know, takes a fine swing. Well, third ball is low outside. Ball one and strike one. Ball one, strike one, the pitch. Ball two, it is too high. Last half of the seventh inning, one man is suddenly fired. The American League 9, the National League 7. Here it is. Get foul, strike two. Count on. Chuck Bryan is ball two, strike two.
Bell up, hanging around home plate. Ball two and strike two, one out, nobody on, last half of the seventh. Mel Harder pitching, Cochran catching. As a lazy hopper down, first Gehrig has it, Harder covers the man, on Gehrig, throw gets away from Harder, and Klein is safe. That's an error for error on the throw. Gehrig is charged with the error. That was a lazy hopper down first base way. Gehrig ran over to get the ball and crossing it underhand to Harder. Harder going at top speed. Gehrig just misjudged his distance a bit and threw to the right field side of first base. Harder had his fingertips on the ball but couldn't hold it. So, of course, Gehrig will be charged with an error. Something has happened down there to Joe Cronin. Charlie Gehrig is Joe Cronin, an umpire Moriarty. Oh, Joe. Joe broke his belt down there, I believe. I don't blame him for breaking a belt on that last play. He'd probably break a pair of suspenders as well. That was a slow play. We had breakfast with Joe Cronin this morning, and we saw him, he's eating too much. But, well, anyway, Joe's ready to go, and we're ready to go with the last half of the seventh inning. One man out. Chuck Bryan is on first. Mellott is up. Score 9-7. Anything can happen. And believe me, the fans out here at the Polo Grounds in New York are well aware of it. Mellott is up there. Knocks the best off the shoe. Gets right in there close to the plate. And we're ready to go. He swings. It's a high bounder down short. Coleman to Gehringer. The Klein flies into Gehringer and no further play could be made. Gehringer finally tossed the ball over to Jerry, but it was useless. That was one of those real high bounders. It sounded about 20 feet in the air. Coleman came in fast, hit it over to Gehringer, getting Chuck Bryan on a forced play at second, and then Chuck slid hard into second base and upset Gehringer a little bit, just enough to make it impossible for a play. Paul Wayne was the next hitter. Paul, you know, hit the left bounder. I have two men out. Not out on first base. Ball one. ball two. Full ball. Paul Wehner pulls away from the plate, and the count is 2-0. Last ball to the 7th inning. Two out. Four out on first base. It is very high fly. Lee Gehrig is coming in halfway between first and home.
He's under it and has it, retiring the Master Leaguers in the 7th inning. At the end of the stretch inning, the score, American League 9, the Master League 7. This game coming from the Polo Grounds and is being sent to you by the National Broadcasting Company. Come in, boys.
The National League top of the 7th started off with Pye Trainer up to bat to face Mel Harder, the curveball artist. And Pye Trainer banged one out to deep short where Cronin took it and shot it to Gehrig. And Trainer was out at first on a very, very close decision, but a beautiful play by Cronin, taking that ball and shooting it over to Gehrig. Then Klein came to bat. Chuck Klein, the heavy hitter of the Cubs, and banged one hard down to Gehrig. Harder ran over to cover first. Gehrig tossed it underhanded to Harder. It just hit the tips of his fingers and bounded out, and Klein was safe on the error. Klein on first then with one out. Mellott coming up to bat, one on and one out. Mel smacked one down to Cronin. Cronin tossed to Gehringer, forcing out Klein. Gehringer shot it down to Gehrig, but Ott had beat the throw. So it was one on and two out. With Wehner at bat, who hit a high fly, which Gehrig came in and took, retiring the side. And here we go into the American League half of the 8th. Here's Tom. Come in.
Jimmy Fox, right-hand hitter, is first up with Izzy Dean in the box. Lopez behind the bat. And Fox takes a terrific cut at the first one and misses. Strike one. No changes as we start the 8th inning. Ball one, a fast ball is too high. Carries on first. Billy Herman on second. Long, short. Trainer third. Austin right field. Paul Wehner is in center. And Chuck Klein is in left. That's correct. There's a long snag. High into left field. Chuck Klein is coming in. And Vaughn going out. And nobody is able to get to it. And Pop pulls up at second. Chuck Klein was playing over in deep left center field that time for Jimmy Pop. And now he's looking up towards the sun, so evidently he lost the ball in the sun. He came over and tried to reach the ball with his outstretched left hand, but missed it by about a foot. It is justly scored as a two-base knock for Jimmy Fox. Al Simmons, another right-hand batter, is up next. Oh, reliable Al Simmons. Here it is. Ball one. First half of the 8th inning, you know, nobody else. Fox on second. Ball two. Team fast ball. He's trying the outside corner on Al Simmons. Just barely missed with those two.
There's the stretch. The pitch. The swing. It's a fly to slip. Back and goes the stretch. The pitch. The swing. It's a fly to short left field. Vaughn going out fast. He's under it. And he makes a nice catch of it. Archie Vaughn goes rather deep into left field to make that catch. You know, with Fox and Simmons at bat, Bill Terry, who's the manager today at least, has Chuck Klein play over in deep left center field. That was almost another hit for the American Leaguers, but Archie Vaughn was able to travel back fast to put the ball over his shoulder in short left field. One man out. Joe Cronin is up there.
Goes over and makes the catch and whips it back into second base. It is taken there by Archie Vaughn, but Fox gets back safe. Joe Cronin fell with that ball right on the seam. Low line drive, ball later in right center. Mike Kaplan is coming up. Being announced over the loudspeaker as the manager of the Detroit Tigers, Mike Cochran. Mike's doing a swell job over there, too. Two men out, you know. Fox is on second. Oh, strike, call.
Dizzy Dean, tall right-hander of the St. Louis Cardinals, is in the box. Foul! Al Shaq comes over, retrieves the ball, and puts it back over to Lopez. Lopez to the umpire. We're ready to go. Strike two on Mickey Cochran. First half of the eighth inning, American League 9, National League 7. Two men out, Fox on second. Here it is. Ball one. The battery started to walk toward the dugout. Strike two and ball one. The battery attempted to call that one for Rick Jones. He wouldn't stand for it, however. Mickey Cochran is holding his bat down there by the knees on the inside of the plate, indicating that he thought it was low inside. Anyway, the count is strike two and ball one. First half of the evening, two men out. Dizzy Dean pitching and Lopez catching. Strike two, ball one. Dizzy Dean steps off the rubber. Fox goes back, touches second base. Dean then picks up the rosin bag. We're ready to go. Got a lot of canaries out here for the moment. Everybody whistling for some unknown reason. Well, they're all mocking Al Shaq. Ball two inside. Al Shaq, you know, 50% of that great comedy team of Al Sharpton and Shaq. Old Al starts to whistle. Everybody seems to follow suit. Strike two, ball two. Mikey Cochran, the pitch. It's a ground ball, a lazy ground around second. Cochran is in fast, it's close. A beautiful play, and Cochran is out at first, retiring the American Leaguers in the first half of the eighth inning. Come in for it.
Well, it's now about 10 minutes past 4 o'clock, and this baseball game started at 1:30 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. And for the 2 hours and 40 minutes, it's been transpiring here in the polo ground between the American League All-Stars and the National League All-Stars, and presented to you by the National Broadcasting Company. From the polo ground here in New York, where we've just finished the first half of the eighth inning, the American League at bat, Fox came up and banged a high fly into left field, and Chuck Klein, who's been playing way out deep in left center, ran hard and fast, but couldn't quite get to it, and went for a two-base hit for Fox. Simmons came up. And Vaughn backed out into left field and took a fly from Simmons almost in the same place on which Fox had gotten two bases. Then Korn came up to bat with one on and one out, lined one hard into center field. Paul Wehner moved over very fast and speared it just as it threatened to go by him. So there were two men down and still one on. Cochran came up. Cochran banged a slow one just right down about 20 feet off second base. Herman came in fast, scooped it up on the fly, turned and wheeled it over to Terry, retiring the American League in the eighth. The score is American League 9, the National League 7, as we go into the National League half of the eighth inning with Bill Terry just coming up to bat. All right, Tom Manning, come in.
The American Leaguers batter, you know, as we go into the last half of the eighth inning. Mel Harder, the Cleveland Indians, is in the box. Mickey Cochran of the Detroit Tigers, the catcher and manager, is behind the bat. Infield is the same. Fox is at third, Coleman at short, Gehringer at second, and Gary at first. The outfield is Chapman in right, Averill center, Simmons in left. We're ready to go with Terry, left-handed hitter up. Pulls his bat down as if to bunt, but pulls it back, and it's declared a strike. Harder's curve ball catching the outside corner of the plate. Memphis Bill is up there, and here's the pitch. That's a ball. Another curve ball. Down around Terry's feet, and the count is ball one and strike one. It's the last half of the eighth inning. The National League is 2 runs behind, 9-7. Here it is. A ground ball through the box. Coleman over near the sack takes it. Boom! He's out! Another pretty play by Joe Coleman. That was a foul of the back pass, fell harder, and Coleman dashed over close to the second base cushion, picked it up, and went out of position, whipped it over to Gary, and Terry was out on a fast play. Yep. Nobody on. He's gone. Nobody on. Hockey Vaughn, left-hand hitter. All the Pittsburgh Pirates is up.
hits the first ball, pitch down short. Cohen comes up with it. The throw is wide, but Kay reaches over, drags the ball, and he is out. Gehrig is getting a nice round of applause for that catch over first base. That was a scorching ground ball, and Joe Cronin has to go to his left a little bit for it and picks it up and has it pass fast to get on. One goes down to first base like nobody's business. Thought it was a slow play. Two outs, nobody on. Lopez is up.
Hits the first ball, hits the long drive, close to the foul line, into the stands, but it's foul.
That ball hit the stands out in right field. That was fouled by about a yard and a half. Strike one, Lopez had rounded first base and was on his way to second. Roger Camp run on foul balls. These umpires are right on their toes this afternoon. They've had some pretty hairline decisions to make, particularly George Moriarty. George is over here at third and had a couple of close ones earlier in the game. Now he's over there at second and he's had a couple of plenty close ones out there at second. The boys apparently are all satisfied with these boys in blue this afternoon are doing a sweet job out here. Lopez is back to the plate. He hits the next one. A high, lazy bounder down third. Pops to carry. Lopez is out. At the end of the eighth inning. No runs, no hits, and no errors. At the end of eight innings, the score of the American League 9, the National League 7. This game coming to you from the Polo Grounds of New York City is being presented by the National Broadcasting Company. Come in for it.
Well, the junior circuit certainly made short work of the elder league in the eighth inning here. The National League came up with Bill Terry at bat, and he banged out one of his usual hard ones down to short, and Joe Cronin took it on the run, got it over to Gehrig, and he was out. A sweet shortstop, this man Cronin. Then Vaughn came to bat, and Vaughn shot up, Kortner down to deep short. Cronin got it right down between his ankles, picked it up, threw the first, and Gehrig then drew a terrific round of applause. By keeping his left foot on the bag, bending out, he looked like almost 2 yards and winging that ball at wide throw from Cronin, retiring Vaughn. And the crowd did show their appreciation of Lou Gehrig, as they usually do. There's not much gets past Lou at first if it's within shooting distance of Lou's glove. Then Lopez came to bat. Lopez banged one hard down between the shortstop and third.
Third base, about 18, or at least 6 to 8 yards. But Fox went over fast, took it, shot it across on that long peg from third to first, retiring Lopez. So they went down in 1-2-3 order. Terry, Vaughn, and Lopez in the National League half of the eighth inning. We're moving now into the ninth. Ninth inning of this All-Star game, with the American League coming to bat leading by 2 runs. They scored 2 runs in the fourth, 6 in the fifth, and 1 in the sixth. For a total of 9, while the National Leaguers scored 1 tally in the first inning, 3 in the third, and 3 in the fifth. Trail now by 7. 9-7 is the score with the American League coming up to bat here in the ninth inning. Here's Tom Manning to give it to you. Come in, Tom.
One of the fine things of this ball game is that practically everybody out here has gotten into the ball game as expected to on the side of the National League particularly. So far, Rick Farrell, Jimmy Dyke, Frank Higgins, and West haven't broken into the lineup of the American League. All of the pitchers, practically all of the catchers, outfielders and infielders of the National League have had their turn now. Ready to go in the first half of the ninth inning. Earl Averill of the Cleveland Indians, the left-hand batter is first up, and Frank House. Frank House of the Boston Braves, little right-hander, is on the mound for the National League. That seems to be the only change in the lineup as we play the ninth inning. National Leaguers infield of Carey, Herman, Vaughn, and Trainer. Lopez catching. Averill hits the next one. It's a little pop fly to left field. Looks like a base hit. Vaughn going back. Oh, what a catch! What a catch! What a catch! What a catch! There, look for that applause. There you are, radio friends. Absolutely the outstanding fielding play of this afternoon's game
insofar as we are concerned, and I think that we'll have plenty to agree with it. Hockey Bone, the little shortstop of the Pittsburgh Pirates, left his position on that drooping liner, a biz of a Texas Leaguer by Earl Averill, and went out and took that ball way out at the edge of the pavilion in the left field corner, right at the very fingertip. He kept right on going and ran until he ran into the barrier in the left field corner. That was a sweet catch by Archie Bone. Well, with ball players like this on a diamond, anything can happen. One out. Charlie Gehringer is up. And the count is ball two. Frank out for the Boston Braves is pitching. Ball three. Another one low outside. 3-0 on Charlie Gehringer.
Our sense is being attracted for a moment. A great red silver plane flying over the polo ground. Gehringer walks.
Gehringer walks on fourth straight. It's a nice inning and a run out. Mel Harder is going up to hit. Harder's getting a nice round of applause from the fans here. Mel Harder, you know, bats them right-handed. Sends the sacrifice to Sabunce down first base way and it's fouled. National League has picked the ball up. Bill Terry picks it up and says, come on, fellas, up on your toes and puts it around. Now Frank Howe has it again, and Harder is back in the box with a count, strike one. Charlie Gehringer has been on that base a lot this afternoon.
Harder again attempts to butt at the pop fly, and Lopez is under it and takes it.
That ball was only about 2 or 3 feet over his head and about 8 or 10 feet toward first base. Lopez ripped off his mask, was under it. Charlie Gehringer, however, was close to first base and got back safely. Now we have 2 men out. Penny Chapman is up. Last time up, Penny Chapman smacked one out to left center field, 455 feet away. There's a pitch out. Lopez calling for a pitch out, hoping to nip Gehringer off first. Ball one. Ninth inning. Chapman is up 9-7 in the American League. It's passed over to first. No go. Benny Chapman, you know, hits him right-handed. A foul ball. Down the third baseline. And the count on Chapman is ball one and strike one. Lou Gehrig is up next. Here it is. Ball two. A fastball is high outside. And the count is ball two and strike one. Here it is. Long fly out to left field. Klein coming in. He stumbled but made the catch for the third out. Jeff Klein was playing very, very deep out there again. Had to come in for that ball and over to his right, over toward the foul line, but made a nice running catch, retiring the American Leaguers in the ninth inning. So the National Leaguers come to bat 2 runs behind in the ninth inning. Come in, Paul.
We go into the last half of the ninth with the National League trailing by 2 runs. The American League half of the ninth started off with Frank Howe coming into the bat to pitch for the Nationals. Averill was the first man to face him. Averill smacked a fly out right on the left field foul line, just a couple of feet in, and Vaughn brought the crowd to their feet for a great play, a great, beautiful catch, running out there, going back to his position short, and making an absolutely terrific, sparkling catch. There's almost no adjective that you can apply to that that would be too great or too superlative to describe Vaughn's great catch of Averill's fly out on the left field foul line. Gehringer that came up and then got 4 straight and walked. So there's one on base and one out with Mel Harder came up. Mel Harder came up and tried to bunt, banged it down the first baseline and rolled foul. So he came back to the base, picked up his bat,
and again tried to pop it up just a few feet away from the home plate. Lopez ripped off his mask, ran out there under it, and took it for a nice catch, making two men gone in the American League half of the ninth. Chapman, then Ben Chapman came up, always a very dangerous man batting order. He smacked a fly in the left field. Klein, Chuck Klein came in very fast, stumbled, Gibbs bringing the heart to the fans in the mouth right before he took it, but did take it, retiring the Americans to the ninth. And here we go into the National League after the ninth, failing by two runs. The Americans nine, the Nationals seven. Come in, Tom, man.
Frank House, with that, the right hand of his up, Eddie. Plays down a beautiful bunt, cut, and it's out there. Close! He's out! He's out by not holding the foot. Look to the fans. Some of them are howling there. That was close. They're giving Cochran a nice hand on that play. Frank House dropped that foot. Dropped that foot. Perfect. It rolled about 10 feet out for the pitch. Cochran ripped that mask off without him. Picked that ball up and whipped it over to Gary. And Frank House, for a pitcher, was plenty fast in getting down there. Sorry, that was close. And a slow play to watch. One out. Willie Herman is up. Willie, you know, hits them right-handed. Harder is pitching. Cochran catching. Foul back. Strike one. Willie Herman, who's playing second base, is up. Ninth inning, one man out. No harder is pitching. Mickey Cochran behind the bat. The infield, Gehrig first, Gehringer second, Stroman short, and Fox third. Here's the pitch. The ground ball just inside the third base back down the left field corner. It's a base knock. The ball turns off the wall. Simmons has it, puts it into Gehringer. He flies. He's safe. A double. Little Willie Herman, Mike Devlin, right on the old label. Well, it's still a ball game. One man out of the ninth inning. Two runs behind. Willie Herman is on second base. That was a peak of a hit. The ball struck just about 1 foot inside the bag with Jimmy Fox leaping for it. But, of course, he had both chances whatsoever to get it. High trainer, manager and third baseman of the Pittsburgh Pirates, is up. Ball one. The fastball is high inside. The American League battery since the fifth inning is Mel Harder, Mickey Cochran. Has a long drive up in the stands, but it's foul. Foul run and strike one. It was a smash up in the right field stand. This guy, trainer, you know, is quite a ball player. Yes, indeed. He's a right-hand hitter. And the count, ball one, strike one. The pitch. Ball two. Harder's hook ball. Missed the outside corner. And the count on Ty Trainer. Ball two and strike one. Willie Herman, you know, is on second base. One man out of the ninth inning. Two runs behind. Harder's pitch. Here it is. It's a strike call. That ball got away from Cochran, rolled about 4 feet away, and now the count on Ty Trainer is ball two and strike two. Two and two on Ty Trainer. He gets them right-handed, you know. Here it is. He swings, and it's a drive to the outfield. Averill under it and takes it for the catch. There's a change out there in the outfield that has not been announced. West is playing center field for the American League as West made that catch. Hope you'll pardon me for that delay. We knew it wasn't Averill coming in, and that change in center field in this ninth inning was not announced. West of the St. Louis Browns is playing center field for the American League. West made that catch, making it two out of the ninth inning. Runner on second base. Chuck Bryan of the Chicago Cubs, the left-hand batter, is coming up. Strike one, swinging. Ninth inning, you know. Two men out. Billy Herman is on second base. The score, American League 9, National League 7. This boy Harder pitched a lot of baseball since replacing Ruffing in the fifth inning. Strike one on the hitter. Strike two. He swings and misses. That's all. One on the hitter. Strike two. He swings and misses. That ball was gone around the knees. Chuck Ryan taking it long. Follow through swing. And now the count is strike two. That ball was gone around the knees. Chuck Ryan taking it long. Follow through swing. And now the count is strike two. Ninth inning, 9-7 in favor of the American League. Two men out. Willie Herman on second. Chuck Ryan, a mighty hitter, is up.
Back to right field, but it's fouled into the stands.
That ball is what we call a hook in golf. Started out there towards Gehrig and then curved right over into the stand. Strike two. Last half of the ninth inning, you know, the National League is 2 runs behind and they have 1 run on the bag. Billy Herman at second base and Chuck Bryan, a long distance hitter at the plate. Mel Harder is pitching, Cochran is catching, it's stretched, and here it is. It's a ball. A fastball is high outside, and the count is strike two and ball one. Not a single fan has left this ballpark unless it was a doctor or something this afternoon, because anything can happen at any time. Any kind of a smash mouth, tie it up, you know. Strike two, ball on the pitch. There's a drive down first base way. Gary fumbles the ball, crosses it too harder. He is out of the close play, and the ball game is over in favor of the American League by a score of 9-7. This is Tom Manning saying good afternoon from the Polo Grounds in New York. And here's Graham McNamee. Come in, Graham.
Thanks, Tom. There are so many features in this ball game that we won't try to go into them at all. It's been almost 3 hours. 3 hour ball game up to about 1 minute. The outstanding features in my mind now, just as I look back over the game, were the pitching for the first 3 innings of that mighty pitcher, Carl Hubbell. He was gorgeous out there in the box, and the fielding stunt of Archie Vaughn of Pittsburgh. Those stand out in my mind. Besides some of the hitting, of course. I'll tell you who did the hitting, and then we'll quit. For the American League men, Gehringer got 2 singles. Dickey got a single. Simmons got 2 doubles and a single. Cronin, a single and a double. Averill, a triple and a double. Fox, a single and a double. And Ruffing, a single. Chapman, a triple. Of course, there was only a couple of them in the game all the time. Some of them might have done more. For the National League, Frisch. Frankie Frisch got a homer on the first ball pitch. Off lefty Gomez. Gomez didn't go so well today as he has been going through his American League season. Frisch got a homer and a single. Cat Trainer of Pittsburgh got his 2 singles. Nedwich got a beautiful long home run up into the second tier of the stands in left field. Trainer got a single, trying a single, and Willie Herman, who came into the game late, got a double. Those are the outstanding features of the game this afternoon. The only other great outstanding feature was the tremendous length of the game. About 3 hours of baseball, and it was all fans here this afternoon. But it was a great game. The Americans have won again, as they did last year. Last year it was 4-2. Today it was 9-7 in favor of the American League over the Nationals in the All-Star game played at the Polo Grounds in New York City. It's time to go now. The crowd is strewn out on the field, all getting to the exit, and so will we. This is Graham Ackley speaking, and we'll leave you now, and just by telling you that the report of this game has been given to you by Tom Manning on the play-by-play, and Ford Bond between innings, and I've had the pleasure of being here too, and through the facilities of the National Broadcasting Company. Goodbye.
We wish to thank the makers of Ambrosia for relinquishing their broadcast period this afternoon in order that you might hear in its entirety the program just concluded.